across the UK, online and on DAB.
Get an earful of unusual nocturnal emissions with radio's Lord of Misrule, Ian Lee. No relation, thank God.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Here we go. Come on. Oh, bit dry on the whistle there. Try again, boy. Microphone technique. Yes. Good evening, Friday. It's Friday. It's happening. It's happening tonight. I'm Ian Lee. That's Catherine Boyle, the Late Night Alternative. Sorry, Catherine, we haven't got time for you to actually say anything there. Later on in the show, after midnight, Colin Moulding and Terry Chambers from XTC. They've got some gigs coming up as TC and I. It's a clever name. They're playing the Swindon Arts Centre, man. First gigs they've played since 1982 or 83. And it's fair to say, they're cacking their pants. They're terrified, these guys. Colin Moulding, you know, one of the greatest songwriters. Making plans for Nigel. Grass. King for a Day. Generals and Majors. I said to him, when was the last time you played your songs in front of an audience? He said 1983. He's done a couple of other live gigs with, you know, like a sort of backup man for other acts occasionally. Not many, a handful. So we're here. It's a kind of a geeky interview. I think you'll dig it. They talk about playing together live for the first time in years. He talks as well, Colin in particular, talks about his relationship with Andy Partridge and Dave Gregory from XTC. Ain't great. And also, I asked him the question I wanted to ask him for ages. Right, because you talk about XTC, everyone thinks Andy Partridge. Right? There's just a brilliant documentary that's come out about the band called This Is Pop. 70% of the interviews are with Andy, right? Okay, and he wrote the bulk of the stuff, and it could be argued he was the vanguard of the sound of XTC, but Colin actually wrote some of the biggest hits. And I said to him, what does it feel like seeing Andy get all the attention and you don't? And he talked about that, and it was lovely. I met his granddaughter as well. His 5-year-old granddaughter is doing the splits in front of me, as 5-year-olds are wont to do. And it was delightful. And people are coming from all over the world to go to the Swindon Arts Centre, a place where I played there. I only drew 30, which is 10 more than Dodgy drew the week before. But they've sold it out. It's a tiny little venue and it's great. And I'm looking forward to it. And I'm thrilled. And I went all the way to Swindon today. Beautiful drive through Oxford. Didn't go on a motorway. All through the countryside to get to Swindon. Oh, it's delicious. Nice cold water. Oh, lovely. So that is coming up after midnight. But before that, let's go to Barbara. Good evening, Barbara.
Good evening, my dear. I've spoken to you once before.
Prove it.
You're great, mate.
Oh, hello. I'm good. How are you, Barbara?
Well, I've moved up the list because there's such competition to be a suspiciously early caller. So,
well, can I just say, you've beaten Alan Caddick, hasn't she, Alan?
Hi, Bob.
There we go, you see?
Whoa.
You beat Caddick, Barbara.
Whoa.
I can go to Caddick if you want.
I believe in ladies first.
Okay, he believes in ladies first. What an old-fashionist.
Goodness me. Yes. We're not allowed to call them ladies now, are
Birds.
They? They're
birds.
Women, aren't they? It's
they are.
Girls football,
they are
or...
sorts. Skirts. Sorry,
yeah.
Catherine?
Whatever.
Catherine is giving me...
Well, I know what comes next, and Barbara doesn't want to hear that one.
What one?
The George Galloway.
I wasn't going to say that.
You usually do.
Oh, for good...
Terrible man. Terrible man, Barbara.
You're saying George Galloway is a terrible man? A man who does nothing but big us up? You're calling him a terrible man?
I'm calling you a terrible man.
Don't be so silly, Kat.
Say it louder, son.
Don't be so silly, Kat.
Thank you. By the way, Barbara, I've got some news.
Right.
Kath isn't going to be here for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
But there is some bad news as well. I won't be here the week after. So we've got 2 weeks sans Catarina et un filet de lundi, mardi, mercredi, vendredi, dimanche, palais sur non et en lait avec la transmitter.
Where might you be going?
New York.
Oh, really?
Sur mon de frère.
Oh, really?
Oui.
Fantastic.
There we go. Catherine, you're
going with your two brothers, I didn't...
Yep.
Okay. Do your sons know? I thought they were going.
Catherine speaks French, okay, and I dabble. You may be surprised to know, Barbara, I didn't study French, yet I can pass.
I noticed how brilliantly you did just then.
Merci beaucoup. Except, as a French woman told me the other day, you can't say merci beaucoup because that means nice arse or something.
They don't do that, do they?
No.
If you say beaucoup, that does mean...
French woman told me merci beaucoup.
We just say, you know, thanks very much. And we think we should do the beaucoup thing that we shouldn't do.
I think we should because I want to prove that Britain is, despite everything, it will be better after Brexit.
It'll be great again.
We're gonna make Britain great again.
Be great again, and you know, I know that, you know, hearing the news recently, there are free and fair and democratic elections all over the world.
Yes,
they're so wonderful.
But Britain is the greatest at electioneering of them all.
Absolutely. Why not? Well,
why the hell not?
But Trump, you know, I do wonder because. I think he copied you.
Oh, Trump's totally ripped off my style. In which way do you mean?
I mean with your wonderful, unique style of maths. And that he's turned it into fake this, fake that.
Fake this, fake that.
Yeah, and I'm sure he listens to you all the
time. I'm sure he does. Barbara, was there... I'm enjoying this ramble down conversation lane.
I know, and you gave me the biggest accolade last time at the end of the call saying, what the hell was that call about?
Yeah, we go, and I feel that it might get the same treatment. What was the thrust? Why did you... When you picked up the old telefono and dialed the numbers, what was going through your mind? What did you think you wanted to talk to us about? And let's maybe grab that and grapple it with our mouths.
Whatever. You know, you do give a little tempter at the beginning.
Little jump to it.
The show.
Yeah, little jump to it.
Yeah. But there were things that I wanted to say to you. You've allowed me to say that.
Are we done?
Well, if you want to, we are done.
I know how tonight's show is going to work, Barbara. I knew that if I talk long enough, I'd get an idea. We're going to play... Okay, so tonight's show, for the first 2 hours, because the last hour it's XTC, tonight's show is phone-in relay. Okay, so a call cannot end until there is another call lined up, and when the first caller wants to...
Oh, dear.
Was that you, Barbara?
No.
Okay, when the first call is ready to end, they say the name of the next caller, and then they hang up, like a relay race phones. So, Barbara, you've got a choice.
Instead of the baton, it's the chat on.
Yeah, it's the chat on. There we go. Thank you. I'd have got there eventually. So, Barbara, your call is... You get to decide who's next. It's either Alan, Mark, or Dredge.
I'm going to go for Mark, because that's the name of one of my brothers.
Oh, I know what you would.
Okay, Barbara, you now have to hang up.
I will.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Mark, your turn.
Le Mark.
Sorry?
Le Mark.
Yes, it is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Right, I'm trying to do French here. What are you doing to me, man?
You sound like you've got a cold.
I've got a bit of phlegmy. I'm a bit phlegmy, man.
Close. You're being Flemish. You're from Belgium. Okay, that's close.
Hey. I'm not a Flemish painter, though.
No. So, Mark, hello, Mark. Good evening. Welcome to Talk Radio,
hello.
Home of the hits.
Good evening, man.
Yes. Okay. Jeez. Hello. What would you like to
say? Bonjour. It's after 7 PM. What? Bonsoir.
That's an Australian Frenchman. So what would you like to parlay?
Well, I tried bringing you up the other night when it was Skype, wasn't it? And it proper messed up, man.
Okay. Well, Skype is open now if anyone wants to call in. I've got late night.
I'm not doing an advertisement for it, am I?
No. Late night alternative. Wow.
Ian.
People do laugh like that. I thought it was just people in insane asylums in the movies.
It probably is, man. It probably is.
Yes. And by the way, guys, Mark is an excellent don't do drugs campaign in all by himself. There you go.
Classic manoeuvre.
Yes, okay. Manoeuvre.
Right, anyway.
Yes.
The question I wanted to ask the other night was...
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Right. Who would your dinner party guest be? 8 people. That's all you need, man.
Well, I wouldn't throw a party.
Well, of course you would, man.
Well, no, I would.
If you had to.
You said, of course you would. I haven't thrown... I have never thrown a party.
If the Gestapo said you had to throw a party...
Oh, God, don't bring Nazis
people,
into
eight,
it.
Eight people. Make them up, man.
Kath?
Oh, you struggle. Every day I'm struggling.
I would invite Kath. Hello? Are you bludgeoning someone to death while we're talking? Because if you are, could you wait?
Yeah, I can do that, man.
Okay. I would invite Kath.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously. I'd invite Sam.
Who's Sam? That is going to be dull, man, with Sam. Nobody knows Sam.
Well, I know him. I work with him.
Right, okay.
I'd invite Simon.
Simon who? Rimmer?
Simon Roberts.
I like Simon Roberts.
Who's Simon Roberts?
The best Simon.
Yeah, he's my mate. I used to go to college with him.
I can see where this vein's going. It's going to
I would invite... Stores. I'd invite... I'd invite Conan. That's four.
I'd invite Scott.
Can I rewrite the question? Because I meant famous people.
I'm afraid you're only allowed one question a night. So that's that call over. So now you have to pass the chat on. You have to pass good that. You have to pass the chat on to either Alan Caddick or Dredge.
Can I give you my eight first?
Not
I
really,
do that?
Really not interested. No.
I know you're not interested, but can I do it anyway?
No.
Well, I'm not interested.
I know. Let's give you eight dead quick, and then I'll pass it on. Ian, come on, man! Stop messing about.
Okay. Honestly, I couldn't. Why would I care? About...
I don't care if you care.
Well, I do care that you don't care if I care or not.
I don't care if you don't care, but...
But I do care!
Ian, can we sing it? We'll sing it, man.
All right, you sing it, then. If you sing it.
Right, I'll sing you my eight. Are you ready for it?
Yes,
just
mate.
Before you do, who do you plan to pass the chat on to? Can you just let us know so we can brace
Alan Caddick or Dredge?
Can you give me some names? Because I've forgotten them already.
Alan Caddick or Dredge?
Dredge, I reckon.
Okay. All right. Dredge, you'll be next.
Don't cut me off, though.
Okay. These
names, man.
So you phoned up to ask me which eight famous people I would invite to a party, simply so that you could tell me your eight famous people, and now you can't even think of one famous person.
I've got eight here.
Well, go on then. Sing them.
Right. Stuart Lee.
Okay. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Right, so we're playing, we're having a phone-in roulette. But we've got a load to talk about. We've got some great phone-in stories, DIY disasters. I know it sounds like local radio, but man, you want to hear what I did today. And if Catherine hadn't been there to witness it, you wouldn't believe it.
It was a proper Frank Spencer.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful.
It's trying to build a TV stand, Reg.
I don't know how you do that.
Sorry. Hello.
So I went to Comic Con the other day, right, in London, right, London Comic Con.
Oh yes.
And I went up to the Beano stand first of all.
Yes.
Anyway, I got chatting to somebody about old comics. You know, we got on quite well. He said, "Okay, well, you know, we'll keep in touch. What's your Twitter handle?" So I said, @ John Dredge. Yeah. There was a long pause. He said, "You're not that bloke that phones up Ian Lee, are you?"
Oh, Dredge! Dredge, there's a fatwa on you from Dennis the Menace.
That was the first time I've ever been recognised.
He recognised you from this old rubbish, did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the Beano love this show. They keep sending me loads of stuff, and I'm more than happy to take the Beano stuff.
Hello, the Beano. I also like the Beano. I was in the Dennis the Menace fan club, and I suppose I still am. I don't think I got ejected. Just so you know, Beano, hi.
We love the Beano.
But then I started wandering around this Comic-Con. You know, like, there's people, famous people, or allegedly famous people signing autographs for money.
Did you see the Duke of Hazzard, one of the Duke of Hazzards?
No, I saw two Dukes of Hazzard.
Were they both there?
And a Catherine Bach.
Okay, because I met a Duke of Hazzard. I met one of the Dukes from Hazzard when I was in New York recently, and I invited him on the show, and he just laughed at me and looked away.
Was it the dark-haired one or the blonde-haired one?
It was the dark-haired one.
He was an arsehole from a long way
away. Whoa! Dredge!
There are
men in their 40s and 50s who are dropping their Horlicks on the floor in outrage. You're just urinating on their dreams.
Well, what happened was he was sort of, when no one was asking him for his autograph, which was quite a long time, quite a lot of the time.
What you mean was when no one was paying him for his autograph.
Exactly.
No one asks a celebrity for an autograph. Got to pay them for an autograph.
Exactly. But what he was doing was he was playing an acoustic guitar to nobody.
Right.
And that to me just smacked of being a bit of a,
Right.
Idiot.
Right.
He was sort of ignoring everybody.
Hang on a minute. You're saying that people who play acoustic guitars are idiots? That is that's controversial even by my sweeping nonsense.
Well, no, he was playing it to himself and ignoring all these other people around him who were sort of, you know, there to obviously help him out and, you know, things like that.
Oh, Dredge.
But I tell you who was there.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, Dredge. Catherine, hello. Would you like to read that headline and read that story, please? It's about to, and I know you didn't want to bring this on, Dredge, but it's about to get very, very dark. So seriously dark.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right.
Dukes of Hazzard star Tom Wopat.
That's the acoustic guitar player.
Pleads guilty in touching case. And we're not talking about a case that brought everyone to tears. Mm. We're talking about touching. Former Dukes of Hazzard star Tom Wopat, or was it Wopat, has pleaded guilty to inappropriately touching two women from the cast of a musical in which he starred. Prosecutors say the 66-year-old was sentenced Friday, so this was earlier this month.
No, really?
Not even joking. To a year of probation after pleading guilty to two counts of annoying and accosting a person of the opposite sex.
I applauded that man in New York a few weeks ago.
The New York
I told you I could tell. I could tell he was annoying.
Yeah.
I could tell he was...
Be quiet, Dredge!
The New York City resident was charged last August with touching two female cast members while rehearsing for 42nd Street at Waltham's Regal Music Theatre in Massachusetts.
Man.
He also received a continuance without finding for 1 year after admitting to sufficient facts on the charge of cocaine possession. The drugs were found on his person during the arrest.
So this
is the guy who played Luke Duke in The Dukes of Hazzard.
Mm.
But you could still get his autograph last week.
Well, his co-star, John Schneider, who played his cousin, Bo Duke, has been dealing with legal issues of his own.
What's Bo Duke been up to? What, jumping over canyons and things?
No. Schneider served 5 hours out of a 3-day jail sentence for unpaid alimony in June.
Those Duke boys, they're white trash. They're white trash. Who else was there, Dredge?
Well, normally I'm not that bothered by these people. You know, they're normally people like Man Hiding Behind Tree in Star Wars or something.
Yeah.
You've never heard of.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was wandering along, right?
Yeah.
Big sign up, James Caan, not the entrepreneur bloke.
Whoa. Misery?
Yeah.
James Caan was there?
Yeah.
Shut the front door.
He's a solid gold primo movie star.
How much was it to get a signed 8x6 picture of James Caan?
Well, I looked up and he was sat there. There was a big sign up saying no posed photographs.
No, of course not.
All right. So I said to the woman, okay, how much is it to get this guy's autograph? Because I was quite excited by it.
Yeah.
She said, just give me the £45 and you can go up there. I was like, I don't think so.
Well, hang on a minute. Stop the clock. As my boys would say, tea. 45 quid ain't that much. It's not that much. For a big start. Now listen, I you can argue about the whole paying for autographs and stuff. I've done it. I got Nesmith to sign an album for Michael Nesmith to sign an album for me because I had the other threes on there. I wanted it. I think it was like $70. If I wanted my name on there, it would have been more. And then I paid $300 to get a picture with all three monkeys. But so 45 quid for James Caan.
Isn't the argument that collectors were going up and getting things signed and then selling them on?
No. Because those are people that kind of hang around stage doors and stuff. And they're the kind, you know, that someone's going to sell it or trade it when you go, okay, what's your name? Oh, no, just sign your name, please. And that's what was annoying people. No, someone realized, and I think it started in Star Trek conventions in the 70s or 80s. Someone realized that people that are writing their name down on a bit of paper that had been done for free for decades, that some people were actually prepared to pay quite good money for it. So imagine James Caan's there, right? 45 quid a picture. How many do you reckon he did that day, Dredge? 1,000?
Loads. I mean, absolutely loads.
Say 1,000, right? Possible. Possible he did 1,000. 45 grand. And I bet that the star gets to keep all that money. As well as that, he'd have been paid a fee...
To sit there.
Tens of thousands of pounds by the whoever put on the event to sit there. Mm-hmm. So they can then say, we've got from the Godfather, we got James Caan. You know, Misery is here. So that he'd be getting, I don't know, I'm going to guess, £50,000. He'd be flown over first class, put up in a top hotel. And it's all a money making. I was going to say racket, but that makes it sound dodgy. It's not. People are prepared to do it. So why the hell not?
Well, I was wondering how much I could have charged that bloke who recognised me for mine.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Dredge, I feel now it's time to pass on the chat on. You
right.
have DJ Artsy or Alan Caddick?
Who would you like? DJ Artsy.
You're going to go to... Okay, so pass the chat on to DJ Artsy.
DJ Artsy, I pass the chat on to thee. No, I hang up, don't I?
Well, hang on. Right. Hang on. Dredge, we've got to make sure that DJ Artsy is there. DJ Artsy, are you there?
Can you receive?
Hey,
stop, baby. I'm gonna stop you there, DJ Artsy, because we're just checking. So, Dredge, if you could pass the chat on again to him, please.
Ashley, can I have Caddick?
Okay, yeah, sure. That's not a problem at all. Right.
Caddick?
He's not fallen asleep. He has not fallen asleep in 15 minutes. Although saying that, it only takes a second to fall in love.
Well, it only takes a minute, girl, as you know.
Let's seek treatment for that.
Let's go back to DJ Artsy.
Okay. So now, DJ Artsy, are you there?
Hey,
no. Oh,
he's not.
Hey, baby!
I've got to stop you there, DJ Artsy.
Oh, no!
Whoa.
If you be my man. Hey, baby.
I've got to stop you there, DJ Artsy, because now Dredge is going to pass the chat on to you. It's like a baton, but it's made of conversation.
Oh.
Is he there?
He's there, I think.
Hello?
I passed the chat on to you.
Please be quiet.
Zip, zippity, zip. Yes, please. Yep.
I pass the chat on to you, DJ Artsy. Thank you very much.
Okay, and so Dredge, hang on a minute, please. Flipping heck, man.
Ooh. Hey.
But hang on a minute.
It's Friday night, everybody, party people.
Please be quiet. Please be quiet. Dredge now has to hang up.
I can't believe Caddick's asleep.
Yeah, sleeping through. So you've got to hang up now, Dredge. We can't even talk to you. You the chat is off for you.
Okay, right. Goodbye.
Okay. I cannot believe what's going on, man.
Now it's your turn.
Is it me now?
It's a feature I thought would be quite good fun, but actually it's atrocious. It's your turn now, DJ Artsy.
No, my name is not DJ Artsy. It's DJ Artsy. You remember me, Ian Mean? You wrote a record in Vienna.
Yes.
Many years ago.
About 20 years ago, I think. I bought it.
A long time ago, and we have made a lot of money together, right?
Yeah, well, man? I don't know if we've ever actually met.
Well, no, because we were in the bar together, me and you, man.
Yes. This is DJ Artsy. Why have you put Artsy on the screen, Sam?
Millennials.
Ah, he's a good kid.
He was singing the song, man.
Yeah, yes.
He was singing the song in the room.
Who was?
Your friend... Who answered my phone call from Austria, man?
Okay.
Anyway, listen.
Yes.
Listen. It's very important
now. It's a very hot
tonight.
Friday night. Everyone's brains are fried.
No. Party time, man. I'm a kind of match music, man.
Okay.
Ring a ding, bang, dong.
Yes,
it's Friday
sir.
Night. Don't do that, man. Don't bring the party down.
No, the party is. By the way, 03444991000, because someone's got to take this baton. Chaton. Off of DJ Otzi. I think Alan is still...
He's asleep, man.
Are you asleep, Alan?
I'm still here, bro.
Okay, he woke up. Okay.
Hey, that's lucky for me, because he would have been on before me if he had been awake earlier on when the fella passed on the baton.
Okay.
Anyway, listen.
Yes, mate.
Here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
2, 4, 6, 8.
2, 4, 6, 8. Motorway.
Easy. 1, 2, 3.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you there? Here we go. Party people.
Yeah!
You guys remember we're all just together in that pub in Austria, man.
Okay. You got no more number songs?
I got no number.
Okay.
I'm trying my absolute best here, man.
There's a Paul McCartney song on Driving Rain that has...
No, I don't know that album, man. I was live in Austria last year. I did live gigs, and you said you were going to come, but you didn't arrive for me, man.
Yeah.
This is our party people time, man. It's Friday night. Let's do this. Yo! If you be my girl. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 2, 3, 4. I was the king of the numbers. Hey, listen, right? Who am I passing the baton on to?
Hang on a second. I just want to prove that I'm right at something. Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on a second. Let's try this. This should...
Hurry up, Ian. You're sapping his party.
No.
This is my part. I have a party going on here, man.
Okay. Well, hang on. Here we go.
I'm going to play the match music, man.
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Here we go. Here we go. This should do it. This should prove I'm right.
It's very, very good, man. Hey, listen, guys. What are you using over there, guys? Let's go there and back again.
What was that, DJ LC?
I said, what are you guys using over there? Yeah. What are you using?
I'm using my Mac. I'm getting on YouTube. I got that song from YouTube.
Hey, that's where I got my stuff from.
Would you like to pass the baton on the chat on?
Yes, please.
To Sam, I think so. To Sam or Alan Caddick?
I think it's about time we heard from Alan Caddick. Over to you, Alan, if you're not asleep.
Thank you very much.
You've got to hang up now, DJ Otzi. Okay. I tell you what, it's too hot. That's what that phone call was a reaction to. It is too hot. Today was too hot. Today was way too hot. It was horrendous.
Certainly was.
Yes, Alan.
It certainly was too hot.
Wasn't it?
It was, though.
Have you moved into the farm yet?
Oh, hang on. Right, stop that. Right, yes, Alan.
Have you moved into the farm yet?
I moved into the farm on Wednesday.
Have you started unpacking?
I've done a little bit of unpacking. I've got some men coming tomorrow to put together a desk and a bookcase for me. Today, here's my DIY disaster, Alan, right?
Yeah.
So I've bought a TV stand. Most furniture, you've got to build it, right? You've just got to build it, and I hate it. I've got to build a CD rack, but I'm going to see if these blokes tomorrow will put it together for me if I give them a few quid. But I got a TV stand. I had to put together a flat pack, they call it. And I thought, well, that'd be quite straightforward to do, right? It's nice, nice plain white thing, couple of shelves and a couple of doors on it, right?
Yeah.
So I did the bit, and I did the first bit, the big long bit, and I did the next bit, and I did the next bit. And then it's got a base, quite a big base, and you've got these, they're not coasters, but they're sort of plastic mounts that you put 8 of these plastic mounts on the base so that when it stands on the floor, you can move it around a bit, right? They're not wheels, but they just, you know. So I got this thing there, and Kath came round just to kind of help with, you know, help. She very kindly brought me some crockery and stuff, and so she was helping with that.
What a nice house guest.
Well.
Then I sat on a beanbag and supervised. It was great.
Well, then you cleaned my toilet off.
Well, I mean, God.
I'm a single man living alone.
I wasn't going to use it like that.
I've got two other toilets on the farm. One of them is a pot. So Alan, I've got the base of this TV stand on the floor, right?
Yeah.
And there are 8 of these plastic little lumps that you've got to screw in with the nails. And it tells you, screw in the little things that are G with the nails that are 6. So you can look at the thing, you get the thing. So I've got these big nails, and I'm screwing it in, right? Screwed in. Mm-hmm. It was not hard, because I thought, well, maybe it's got to be tough, because it's got to be steady. This is what is going to keep it steady, right? So I'm screwing it. And it took me about 10 minutes. Kath came in. I had sweat pouring off me. Took 10 minutes to screw the first one in. There's 8 of these things. I'm thinking, geez. So I get on to number 2, right?
Yeah.
It takes me half an hour to do 4 of them. That's half, right?
Okay.
Screwing in these little plastic stubs, right? And I thought, well, for number 5, I'm going to employ a different technique, right? I'm sort of going to lie on my side on the floor. So it's all on the floor. I'm going to lie on my side on the floor, my left-hand side. So my right-hand side, the pressure is on my right-hand side, and it might make it a bit easier. Give me a bit of purchase, right?
Yeah.
So I got the stub and put it on the base of the thing, and I got the nail, and I put the nail in, and I thought, hang on a minute, something's not right here. So I put the nail out, and I was looking at it. And then I got the nail, and I put it, I stood it up next to the piece of wood I was screwing it into.
Yeah.
Do you know what I found?
What did you find?
That the nail was about three times the thickness of the piece of wood.
Uh-oh.
So I'm going, hmm. So then I tried to lift up the base of the TV stand that I'd screwed four nails into. And do you know what I'd done?
What did you do?
I screwed it into the floor.
Oh, no!
It's lovely, this lovely wooden floor, right? In this cottage that has not been touched in years. I'd screwed four massive, like, three-inch screws into this thing. And I couldn't lift it up. And I said to Kath, like, you don't know, you're not gonna... I was really embarrassed because Kath was sat there. And I said, you're not going to know. She said, what, have you done it upside down? I said, no. She said, have you done it back to front? I said, no, 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 watch this. And I tried to lift the thing and it wouldn't move.
No, but on the upside, your telly won't go anywhere, will it?
It was screwed. So I had to screw everything. And the screws I was meant to use are like tiny little ones that went in really easily, of course. Because it's only the little plastic stubby bits at the base of the thing.
Oh, no.
I've ruined the floor.
I thought you took it very well.
Well, I had to because you were in hysterics and I couldn't have done what I wanted to do, which was to F and Jeff. Otherwise, I would have looked like I'd have looked like a bad sport. So I had to pretend that it was fine that I'd wasted half an hour and had lost £3 in sweat. So that has been my day, Alan.
Well, I've been on the allotment doing some motivating.
Doing some what?
Rotivating. Preparing the ground.
Okay. Oh, rotivating. What? In the... No, mate. Not in this temperature. One, you'll die. Two, the ground is solid.
No, we had a bit of rain earlier in the week and that softened it up.
Really? Everywhere else is dry as a husk.
Well, we had a little bit of rain and that was just a job for softening the ground.
Okay. Well, that sounds like you've had a great day, Alan.
Who's next?
Well, that's your choice.
Give me the options.
The options are Sam or Brunella.
Sam, you up?
Okay, you got a hand in.
Hi.
Right, Alan, you've got to hang up now. Right, and Sam, you've got to stay there until after this.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. On air and off the leash. On Talk Radio.
Okay, so we're doing phone-in relay. You phone in and you talk and then you pass the chat on to the next caller. Now, what that means is, if there's no caller next, you can't go. You've got to stick it out. But we went to Sam before the break, and Sam, just to let you know... Sorry?
Hello?
Just to let you know, Sam, that after you... and I think that'll be quite soon, we've got Nigel or we've got Brunella. You sure it's not Prunella with a P? It's Brunella with a B. Okay, okay. So, Sam, what would you like to say?
Well, this is the first time I've listened to your show.
Okay.
Thought,
you want your money back?
No. I'm quite a fan. Actually, I listened to it for about 5 minutes when you were talking about Meghan Markle's dad the other night.
Yes.
And I was giggling when I was listening to you.
Okay.
And I thought I'd give you a call and just say hello. I think it's a great show.
Hey, thank you, Sam. So hang on a minute. How did you discover this show? I'm always intrigued because there's not much advertising for this station. How did you discover it?
It was, I've got DAB in my car and it just appeared. And I was driving home from work and I heard your voice.
Oh, I like that. It just appeared. And that is because we have actually spent £25,000 on ghosts to go around and retune people's car radios without them knowing.
Spooky.
Spooky.
But I've got to say, it's great.
Are you in the Indy 500 or something? or Brands Hatch?
Lucky races.
What is going on there?
I don't know. I'm in the West Midlands, it's all a bit odd.
Oh, I know the West Midlands. I worked in the West Midlands for a while. I know. I dig it there, man. It's kind of cool.
Whereabouts?
How? Well, I worked at the in Birmingham the post box, the mailbox.
But I used to
drive up there every Friday and then come back on a Saturday. I used to love it up there. Great food. Found a great Korean restaurant. Beautiful.
Oh, you can't beat a Korean Birmingham.
Yes, loads of curry houses all over the place. Yeah. Loved it. And I always also found everybody was lovely, apart from the bosses at the radio station. Everybody was lovely to me up there. I was always made to feel very welcome.
I think it gets a bit of a bad name because of the accent and, you know, and there are parts that aren't.
Oh, the accent is hideous and the area is a dump, but no, I'm joking. No, I think it does. But then a lot of people, you know, Liverpool gets a bad rap and Manchester kind of gets a bad rap. Places do, and it's kind of snobbery and it's rivalry and all of that stuff. But I love Birmingham. I had a great time. I worked there for a couple of years, Fridays and Saturdays, and I loved it.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. It's, you know, I can't knock it, and it's I work in Birmingham, and it's just any time of the day you go out, it's full of culture and it's friendly.
Yeah, it's fine.
So
how are you coping with this heat? It was too hot today, wasn't it?
Well, it wasn't that warm here.
Oh.
It was quite overcast.
That explains the rotavation.
Yes, and I was in the pub this afternoon. Yeah. And it was cloudy and overcast,
oh.
So it wasn't very good.
Oh, mate, well, it sounds like you've had a nightmare.
Well, I was in the pub, so it can't be that bad.
Tell me you've got a few bottles or something in the fridge for when you get home.
Yes, some Palmer Violet gin.
Palmer Violet juice?
You know, gin.
Palmer Violet gin?
Yeah.
Yeah. That is disgusting. I mean, I don't drink anyway, and I was never a gin head, but that is disgusting.
I love gin, but Palmer Violets is like soap.
Oh, no, it's lovely. With lemonade, not tonic water.
Okay, well, I suppose you're making it a bit classier.
Yeah.
Sam, have you got anything else to say, or are you going to pass the chat on?
I'm going home.
You can either pass the chat on to Nigel from Maidstone or Brunella, your choice.
Brunella, she sounds exciting.
She does, doesn't she? All right, Sam, you have to hang up now.
No problem, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, take care.
Bye-bye.
What a lovely lady. Wasn't she nice? Okay, she's gone. Brunella.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Mixed, how are you?
I'm okay. You sound like you're losing your voice.
Yes, it's stress, I think.
Stress?
Yeah.
What's stressing you? What's going on in your life?
I've lost my job today.
Oh, no, mate!
I know.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Was there any reason? Cutbacks? Terrible behaviour? What happened?
No, I'm awesome.
I bet you are awesome!
Yeah. Change of interest in the company.
Did you like the job, or...?
I did. That's why it sucks. Loved it.
She said sucks. Oh, well. She said sucks. Where is your... I'm trying to place your accent, and your croaky voice is just slightly clouding your accent. Where are you from?
I'm Brazilian.
Brazilian Brunella. Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, I suppose you came over here for the weather. That would be that.
Oh, of course.
Of course.
Actually, yes.
So what have you called in for, Brunella? What can we do for you?
Well, because this is the first time ever I heard your radio.
Wow.
Show. My boyfriend just introduced me to you.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what would be fun?
Yeah.
To give him a call and tell him about the shit they have had. And I keep swearing, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Don't do any more. So how did you find out you'd lost your job? Did you kind of get called in? Did you get a text? Some people get sacked by text.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No, it was face-to-face stuff.
And what did they say, Brunella? Did you say, look, you're just too Brazilian for us. You have to leave. Brexit. Brexit, Brazilian Brunella. Brexit.
Oh, it's Brexit. I'm also Italian. It's just change of interest. And our division became useless. So, meh.
Wow, the old change of interest line, huh?
Oh, yes.
So what are you going to do? Please tell me that you are hideously drunk or high this evening.
No, I'm not. I'm neither. I'm just recovering from a bad cold in that stage where your voice just leaves you. Too good. So, yeah.
That sentence kind of just p- petered
drunk
out.
Or high, no, just...
Okay, well, what can we... I feel we ought to do something, Catherine, to cheer Brunella
up. I need to teach her some Portuguese. Why don't I teach her some Portuguese?
You want to speak to some Portuguese?
She wants to teach you some Portuguese.
Oh.
No, I want to teach her some Portuguese.
Well, I tell you what, well, Catherine, do you know any Portuguese?
A little.
Hang on, Brunella, because Catherine is a linguist. Mm. She's excellent at French, she's excellent at Spanish, and she's got one of those brains that can kind of sort of work out Latin-based
language. Well, I did Portuguese at university for like 3 months.
Please, speak. I'll get some appropriate music. You guys speak.
I only know things like Asnur Santos, Mrs. Santos.
Oh, Portuguese from Portugal. Okay,
yeah.
So we have to speak close to me.
And what else do I know? Falish Português?
Yes. No, in Brazil, that would sound like Fala Português.
Ah.
So it sounds exactly different. The same.
No, it's clearer. This is the problem.
No, it's different, yeah.
The problem I had with Portuguese is I speak Spanish, and so it looks like Spanish, but then when they used to speak it to me, it sounded like Russian. They ate all the words.
Oh, my God, yeah. Everyone says that we sound like we're speaking Russian when you're speaking Portuguese very fast. It's giving me World Cup flashbacks. I don't want
to hear it. Great theme tune.
So tell us something in Portuguese that will impress our friends.
Oh, my God. You can say... let me think. Let me have a think. You can complain about the weather in Portuguese. That's classic.
Yeah.
Está... Genki.
Hmm?
My crooked voice doesn't help.
Está Genki.
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 Oji.
Está Genki Oji.
So it's
basically saying that it's hot today.
Está Genki Oji.
Oji is like oi in Spanish, which is today.
Yeah. Oji. Oji is H-O-J-E, which is today,
Yeah.
Genki means... Genki means are you okay in Japanese.
Is it?
Genki desu ka?
Does it?
Well, you know the Japanese word for thank you comes from the Portuguese word.
Konnichiwa. Arigato.
Obrigado.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So what does genki mean in Portuguese?
Genki.
How do you spell it?
Hang on. She's go on. She's trying to translate it. Come on.
Genki is... Oh, hold on. I need to have a cough.
Genki.
You have a little cough.
Genki means hot.
Hot.
It's K... U-E-N-T-E.
Oh, that's a very dangerous spelling.
Genki.
That's a very dangerous spelling.
Genki
over here. Wowzers. What are you doing for this weekend, Brunella? How are you gonna lift the blues?
Oh, my God, I'm so rock and roll. I'll probably watch Christopher Robin in the cinema.
Oh, no, don't.
It looks awful.
No, don't. It's had... The reviews have come out today. It's had terrible...
My God,
it's had terrible reviews.
Films with bad reviews. The worse the review, the better the film. I've seen Mamma Mia, too. It's reviewed. Great film.
Oh, well, she's freestyling. She doesn't care about the reviews.
I think all the films at the moment are a bit ropey because we went and saw the Ant-Man and the Wasp, and I liked the first one, and I thought the second one was all right.
It was a bit of fun.
It was all right. The Christopher Robin looks awful, and it's had terrible reviews.
Well, but it's got Winnie the Pooh in it. How can you not love it?
Because I find Winnie the Pooh quite boring. I've always... My kids like him. I've always found it dull. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Listen, Brunella, we have to pass... thank you. Who is your boyfriend? Has he ever called in before?
He has, actually. Who? He's listening to me and probably laughing.
Who is this guy?
Called Tom.
Tom?
Yes.
Tom, do you know what...
Give him a shout.
We've definitely spoken to a Tom.
Well, hey, Tom, big up yourself.
He probably called when he was like 15, so...
Okay, right.
Well, we prefer you anyway.
Well, Tom's, you know, well done, Tom.
Should I choose who's next?
Right, yes. Well, you've got a choice between Nigel or Nigel.
Oh. Is any of them the Farage? Because I'm not choosing that one.
There's no Farage. They're both Nigel from Maidstone.
Oh, so Nigel one.
Okay, you've got to hang up, Brunella. Thank you for your call.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye bye. Hang up. There we go.
I like her very much.
Yeah, we're getting some really cool new callers. And sorry, Skype, I'm ignoring you. We'll come to you after the news, I promise. Nigel from Maidstone.
Oh, hi, Ian.
Hello, Nigel. What's the latest?
Oh, I've been back to see Mum twice today, but the second time I went back, She was in so much pain that I couldn't stop.
No.
I had to tell the doctors to give her some painkillers.
Yeah.
She hardly recognised me. She was looking at me in a dream. She couldn't really see me properly. Because I think the pain was affecting her eyesight and stuff. And
it would do, yeah, it would do.
She was delirious and that type of thing.
I'm really sorry, buddy.
Well, I saw her earlier on, the first time I went to see her, she actually was talking to me a bit.
Yeah.
But she was still in some pain. But she's got this sort of a serious thing on her bottom or back. She's got...
bed sore.
It's worse than a bed sore. It was an ulcer. I think it was an ulcer.
Uh-oh.
And they have to keep turning her over.
Yeah.
They keep turning her to get rid of the pain. But I'm hoping that the pain's gone off a bit now,
yeah.
You know.
Well, she's in the right place if she's got an ulcer like that.
Do you think if they can control the pain that she might get better?
Nigel, I wouldn't like to say, mate. I really don't know.
I've got to say hello to my friends in Tunbridge Wells.
Okay, well, listen, you stay there. Can you come back? If you stay there, and we'll talk to you after the news.
Can
is that all right?
As well?
Of course you can, mate.
Yeah, fine.
We'll speak to you in a little bit. Lovely clip of Nigel. Nigel's mum's very poorly at the moment, and he phoned up last night to sing a Miley Cyrus song for her, and it got us, genuinely, it's not even me doing a piece now, it got us all, you know. There's a clip of that floating around. Nigel's gone viral. We'll speak to him in a bit. 03444991000. This is The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee and Catherine Boyle on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I love that song. And yes, he's saying grass and not grass.
Well, I suppose correctly, then.
That's the Swindon accent.
Uh-huh.
That's the Swindon accent. But you're supposed to... Everyone thinks, oh, he's smoking... No, he actually means grass growing. It's all about snogging in a field. That's what it's about.
I'm down with that.
And we know you are. Oh, no, I pressed pause. There we go. This XTC, by the way, Colin Moulding and Terry Chambers on After 12. If you want to treat yourself, if you want to hear an album of pop masterpiece, in fact, it's going to be the first album, when I get my CDs out, first album I'm playing in my new house, although on my dance set record player today, I had the best of John Denver. But Skylarking by XTC, what a record. What a record. It really is just a stunning pop, slightly psychedelic, slightly folky masterpiece. Colin Moulding, Terry Chambers from XTC on the show after midnight, talking about their live shows that they're going to be doing later on in October in Swindon. 0344 499 1000 is the phone number. We can do Skype in a bit as well. I can see that Ollie and Tom have been calling in a bit, and we'll try and get to you. We'll try and get to you in a bit, but Nigel is on at the moment. Good evening, Nigel.
Oh, but hi, Ian, back again.
Back again.
I wanted to say hi to my friends before I forget their names in Tunbridge Wells.
Good friends, huh?
The ones that watch me when I sing on the bandstand.
Okay, well, you can phone them up.
Well, they're listening to the show.
Oh, are they?
But yeah, they're listening. Three more people listening to the show.
Well, do you know what? That almost triples our audience.
Yeah. Hi to Alex and Sam and Jake.
Strong names, good names.
Big up yourselves.
I don't know. Well, the girls weren't there this afternoon. It was just all boys.
Boys club.
It's a cafe called Woods on the Pentiles.
Woods on the Pentiles.
Do you know? Mum's got so much stuff. I really don't know where. If I had to move, I don't know where I'd put it. Because I kept buying her presents, loads of dolls and teapots. And.
Oh, was she a teapot collector?
Yeah, I've got 200 for
Flipping
her.
Flipping heck, Nigel! Yeah, that's a lot of tea!
And it's so sad. It's so sad.
Isn't it?
Because, she wanted to get back to her stuff, and I hope she does. She gave me a wedding ring, and she wanted me to wear it, from Dad.
Well, that's a lovely.
So it's a goal to keep it so that we'll never be apart. I do feel so sad because I know it's going to be really hard for her to get better. But there's always a chance, maybe. If you can get rid of the pain, the pain is what's called running her down,
Well, there was a lot of love for you on Twitter because you sang that.
What's this viral thing mean?
Well, you know that you sang that Miley Cyrus song last night.
Yes.
Well, the boffins at Talk Radio, because we got cameras here, they filmed it.
Yes.
And they put it on Twitter, and it's had something like nearly 2,000 views.
And does it go on YouTube as well?
No. It might go on the Talk Radio YouTube channel.
Get it on Twitter somehow?
Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, Nigel Reader Free is my Twitter.
Okay, well, if you go to @talkradio and scroll down, it's one of the videos there in their feed.
Well, could you transfer it to Nigel Reader Free?
Okay, okay, sure.
Nigel Reader Free is my Twitter name.
Okay, I'll take a break from doing this live radio show to find a video clip.
Well,
I'm not going to do it later on, mate, if I'm completely honest.
I see.
You talk to Catherine while I do your...
Then I can see it when I put the laptop back on tonight.
You'll be there in your notifications.
Here we go.
And it's me talking to you on the radio in the studio, singing a song.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's what happened last
night.
Nigel, you won't be able to see me, though, because I'm on your...
There's no camera on you, Nigel. I've just zapped it to your inbox. I don't like what's going on with my hair there, but that's not really the point of it.
You found it, have you?
I found it. I've sent it to you. I've tweeted it to you.
Oh, thank you very much.
And it's my pleasure.
Oh, so pleased. That means viral when you get when that goes onto Twitter, then.
Well, viral means lots and lots of people have seen it. So I was exaggerating slightly, but it certainly had. Let me just click on it. It's had 2,325 views.
That's quite a lot.
That is not bad. Is that not bad?
And of course, people listening on the radio, there's more people listening to the radio, isn't there?
About 100,000 people will have by the end of the weekend have heard or seen your touching tribute to your mum where you sang that Miley Cyrus.
And when you sing when you're on the radio live, a lot more people hear you as well, don't they?
And I put it in the podcast as well.
There
it's
you
gone
go.
Out today.
Oh, thank you. What was I going to say now?
Were you going to sing a song for us?
Yeah. So I'll do you a short song. I can't be too loud because of the neighbours. I'll do a classical one, Dream a Dream.
Beautiful.
Charlotte Church one.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, God.
Okay.
I can't remember what I was going to say. So I'll fire away with the song.
Fire away. Away you go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I'm just going to turn the mic. Just see if you can hear this. Okay. One, two. Can you hear that okay?
Yeah, he's got the zone PA system.
I'll just press the knob in. And here we go. Dream a dream. Thank you.
Take it.
Thank you.
Oh.
1, 2,
testing.
1, 2. Oh. Hi to my design. When the night is still,
the music's a little bit too loud. Nigel, we can't hear him. Well, I don't want to. Just fade him down a bit, Sam. So he's still there. Because I don't want to, you know, to cut him off or anything. But music's a little bit too loud. It's tricky to get that mixing done.
Yeah.
It's tricky to get that mixing done.
He won't have a roadie there, will he?
Mm-mm. So, funnily enough, about 2 months ago, my son asked for my wedding ring. He said, "Can I have it?" And I said, "You know what? That's an excellent question." And I sat there and I thought about it. And I said, "I'm going to say no for now. But let's talk about it again at a later date."
Yeah.
Seems a little bit... Because it's a nice ring, you know. And it's... As wedding rings are, they're more symbolic than anything else. And, you know, when you put them on, they're symbolic of hope and the future and love and trust and faith and all these things. And when you take them off, they are symbolic of failure and disappointment and heartbreak and upset and maybe arguments and all different kinds of things for different people. So for the last I took it off just before I went in the jungle, and so for the last 8-9 months it's been by the side of my bed. Now it's in my wash bag, because that was the only kind of safe place that I knew where if I put it there I won't lose it. I don't know, this is a genuine question, right? To divorced people out there, I don't want to make this show into the divorce show, because flipping it's boring, but what do you do with your wedding rings? I can see myself at some point, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, giving it to one of the boys if they want it. I think it seems a little bit too soon to do. What do you do with them? You can't chuck them. I suppose if you've had a big falling out with your husband or wife, that chucking them might seem appropriate. If it's been a very toxic marriage. Mine was not necessarily toxic, so I don't want to do that. So I don't know what you do with them. Keep them? Do they lose their power over time? They must do. The magic has to fade out of it at some point. I'd see it before I went to bed and just think, oh, you F that one up. That was the thing. But does the magic go at some point?
I would imagine it does, but you're right to hold on to it now. Because apart from anything else, diplomatically...
Oh, if I chucked it away, that's like slapping her in the face.
I wouldn't. No, I know you wouldn't chuck it away. But also, if you gave it to one of the boys now and she said... And your wife saw that, then that's a statement, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it must be.
Keep it until he's old enough to appreciate what it is.
Yeah. And then sell it to him, because it was quite expensive. I think they were from Tiffany's, those rings. Thank you, Ian. Yeah, Nigel, the music was a little bit too loud, but we managed to get the essence of it.
Yeah.
And we all, as always, send you and your mum the very best, and you keep us informed.
I think it was because I was singing in a different position.
Oh.
I was away from the speaker more. But it's job to balance it over
it
the phone.
Is. Just to let you know, for next time that... We've got a phone call, Nigel. We have to go.
I'll see you later.
Bye-bye, Nigel. All right, how does this work? Hello, Skype. It says here that we've got Keith and the girl on Skype, but yet they are... Are you talking to us?
Uh-oh.
Idiots. Absolute idiots. It's America. That's America for you. That is America. These are the people that are going to lead us into Armageddon. They can't even work Skype. You got to do your settings.
Speak to us.
I tell you what, we're going to go to a break because that's what we do. And we're going to leave you there. And when we come back, you better be talking to us.
The radio show for people who know the best part of the day is the night.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee
on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Good times.
Catherine and I were arguing during the break. She claims to be a drummer.
No.
And I said, go on then. And she went, I can't do it now.
I didn't claim to be a drummer. I said I played drums in a concert once.
Right, okay. Well, like,
I only did dumps.
Only people like Keith Moon or Phil Collins play drums in concerts.
Not in a kid's concert.
Go and do it.
I was using the... bass drum.
Let's hear it. Let's hear it. You think you said, come on. Come on, Pete Best.
Dumps, 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 dumps.
Do your fingers on the table. And the foot.
Because you can't. I'm not a performing monkey.
Because you can't do it, mate.
I totally can do it.
You can't do it. She can't do it, Hemda.
I totally can do it.
Hey.
She can't do it.
Oh, shit. She
can do anything.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, exactly. He's just bitter.
Now, can you hear Catherine through the Skype?
Yeah, okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. It's Hemda from Keith and the Girl. It's a great podcast, guys. Go and get it. They do it every day. They work harder than we do. but you know, we won't hold that against them. How's it going, man? You're right.
I am so addicted to this now.
Uh-oh.
You guys are one thing. You know, your voices are just smooth in my ear. But then your community... You're the comments, the hellos, the extras. Yeah. I love it.
Are you high on a drug? Are you high on an American drug today?
I should be. Wowzers. I was earlier.
What?
But
now drugs are legal, aren't they? Is weed legal in America now?
Weed is very stupid in America. So what happens is some of our states are legal on a state by state level.
Okay.
But federal law can get you arrested and shut down. It's very odd.
When I was in New York, I kept seeing this wagon, and I can't remember what it's called, but they were basically selling like cakes and
edibles, they call them.
Edibles, right? Mm-hmm. And lollies, those candy bars with weed in.
You can tell I listen to Keith and the Girl. I know all about edibles now, and Hemda's into blunts.
I love you, Kat.
Which I think I had to look them up, Hemda. It's like a doobie, but it's got a cigar skin on it or something.
Okay.
Oh my god, can you just talk to me about weed? You saying weed words is so fun.
I
never heard the word blunt said in that accent, and that's, I just want to pick that up.
I just moved, right? I moved into a very, very nice little village. There's hardly any houses there. And I did the thing, right, where you go and knock on people's doors to introduce yourself, right? So yesterday,
I knocked... You're a convicted pedophile?
Sorry?
That's what we have to do here if you're a convicted pedophile.
You have to go and tell everyone.
Over here, we just call it manners, but there it's
legal.
It's protecting your children. Yeah. Okay.
You know, it comes off different in that accent. So.
I'm not a paedophile. Okay. Let's just get that clear before that becomes a meme or a hashtag. Hashtag Ian Touch It doesn't, right?
No, you don't have to have all of the things. You can have just some of them.
By the way, the greatest television show of all time, To Catch a Predator.
Oh my God, sick, right?
Isn't it the best? It's such a naughty show, but it's so good.
You have to stop saying the word naughty.
What? There's naughty. Why did you bring condoms and lubes when you thought you...
Oh, God.
I'm just visiting a friend. I'm going to go now. And then the police pounce on him. Yes, man!
That's such a good impersonation. Holy shit.
It's good.
I'm so sorry.
No, but so I went and knocked on the door next door, right? And you walked up the path, you could just smell this skunk. Right? It was like the strong stuff. Just smell it. I thought, man, they're going to be a house full of stoners. And I knocked on the door, and this kid who's got to be about 14 or 15 opened it, bug-eyed, like smoke kind of up, wafting out. And I went, hello, mate, I'm Ian. I'm your new neighbour. Oh, yeah, okay.
Don't tell my parents.
No, is your dad in? No, he's out. All right,
of course he is. Can't you smell he's out?
And as I walked away, I really wanted to turn around and sort of wink and go, that smells like good shit, man. But I didn't know if that would freak him out or if that would make me look like an old hippie.
Well, funny that.
You know, better to play safe when it's your next door neighbors and you're just saying your first hello.
Yep.
Better to let him think that you're the guy that just is saying hello and he owes you one. Maybe he'll mow a lawn or two.
Yeah, we go.
That's right.
If he's so interested in grass, he can earn it. He can bloody well earn it.
Yes, now you sound like an old guy calling it grass.
Well, he's smoking a bit of pot, and I simply will not stand for it.
It's really tough because weed is now in the air so much. So if you're trying to lay off it, it's such a friendly one that, you know, people won't even share their tobacco cigarettes with you, but they'll be happy to pass you their joint.
I'm in recovery, and so I can't touch any of that stuff. But it makes sense, you know. It makes legal free the weeds, you know. I think it kind of makes sense to do all that. But you're right, you smell it everywhere now. It's everywhere. Yeah.
That's like, you know, it's like smelling sex everywhere, because sex is good for some people, but dangerous for other people. And some people are, you know, trying to be monogamous or celibate or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're smelling that everywhere and you're not allowed to have it, but it's good for people and it's exciting and it's natural and it's okay for a lot of people to do, but not for some, that's rough. That's like smelling a bakery everywhere you go.
I've got really to say, hard. If I can smell someone else's sex, it doesn't really put me in the mood. It makes me think, well, I'll crack a window in here. God.
What, so you're in the same room as a sex person?
Well, apparently so. I mean,
so this isn't,
if it's
just
that strong, you can smell it in the street. Someone needs to shower.
But imagine you're in a bus and you just go, right, who here has been having sex? I can smell it. I can smell your sex.
You're not allowed to do that.
Triggered.
Man.
This is not healthy for my recovery. I need to stay celibate.
I need to stay away. Luckily, though, we have soap. And as we've discovered, vaginal soap, vagina soap.
Why? Oh, stop saying
that. Was that here or was that in? That was here we saw that advert, wasn't it, for vagina soap?
Now sex will only smell like eggplants, just roasted eggplants
and peach.
Okay.
The reason
why I called.
Oh, there was a reason for it. Right. It's not just to drag our show into the gutter.
You mentioned what to do with the wedding ring, and I just took off my wedding ring like 2 months ago.
Mate, go on.
And it took me a minute. Like, I actually practiced taking off my ring and not wearing it for a day and seeing if I miss it and seeing if I play with it without it being there, seeing if anybody notices, seeing if people respond to me differently without a ring on. And it's very weird to say this, but it was a little scary for me.
Yeah.
It was such a big representation when you put it on that when you take it off, it's like there almost should be a ceremony. You should have friends around you, just like you did when you were getting married. You were declaring marriage, declaring my one and only, declaring that you guys are here for me and this person. And I'm way into divorce parties, I think, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think so, because it's I think I might have said this when I was over there, that divorce is this word that we kind of throw. Oh, such and such has got divorced. Oh, divorce is so easy these days. But when it's happening to you, when you're going through it, it isn't just a word. It's this huge thing. And whereas a wedding, you got the build up to it, but then it's a day. You've got a day, and on the day before you're not married, the day after you are married. Yeah. The divorce, you get the papers through and stuff. And I'm still waiting for that. But it just kind of drags on, this uncertainty, and this it's like walking through through mud or something. It just drags on. And I kind of like the idea of having a divorce party, not because it's two fingers up to the person that you're not married to anymore, but it's kind of, I don't know, a rite of passage. It's you coming out the other side, something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also support. So what's happening when you get married, everybody already knew that you were together, most likely, unless you're getting, you know, randomly one of those quickies. But we already know you as together. Everybody already knows us as together. So it doesn't really make a difference other than we're acknowledging.
Yeah.
So I feel like a divorce, maybe party is the wrong word, but it's the support. All people are doing when they're coming to your wedding is going, I'm into this. So when they come to your divorce party, they're saying, I'm into you. You're not alone. We know that this is a big part of your life, just like the wedding was. So we want to be on your side. We want to, you know, because divorce doesn't happen like, I guess maybe, I never really thought about it, but it's not the paperwork. It's not the moment that you say, hey, we can't be together. It's the triggers. You know, the other day I fell off my bike and I'm like, got to call my ex-husband. I have no choice. You know, like, that's just what I do. That's the number I have memorized, you know, all that stuff. And then I go, don't call, don't call, don't call. It's those moments where suddenly it's like, wow, that was my family. It's my family. That's like not being able to call your mother, your brother, your sister, your anything. It's tough. Even if you had a fight with them, even if you're so mad at them, and even if you know that it's not right to be together, for years and years, they were the person that you called without even thinking.
Yeah. My my brother-in-law lives abroad, and he's over this week and next week. And I've not spoken to him since, you know, I split up with his sister. And I like him a lot. He's a really good guy, but I don't know. He might hate me. He might be ambivalent. Yeah. I don't know. And so I sent him a text and said, look, man, I don't know. What I've never done this before. I don't know what our relationship is supposed to be now, but I still think you're a cool guy. And my kids want me to take your kids swimming, but I can't do it on my own. Would you be up for coming swimming with us next week? And the four kids. And
were you braced for him to say, you know, were you prepared for him to say no?
I was prepared for him to ignore it or to send me abuse or to send me a loving text. And it was the latter. He said, look, this is cool. I'd love to see you. I know the girls would love to see you. Let's go. We're going to go to the swimming pool on Monday. The four kids and me and him. And it will be a little bit weird to start with, and then it'll be fine. And, you know, but it's all the other people around you. I don't know how I'm supposed to react, how I'm supposed to, if I still have a relationship.
But the thing is, it's weird for them too, because they haven't seen all the stuff that's been going on between the couple that they supported. Yeah. And they came to your wedding because they were your friends, and, you know, they liked the idea of you being together and all that stuff. And so all of a sudden, what, these guys aren't together anymore, and nothing's changed for them.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed for them, but everything has changed, you know?
So you've made family with the family. I mean, you've been calling them family. I still talk to my parents-in-law because they're my parents. I remember getting married, and I said, you know, people would always ask me, what's the difference now that you're married? And I said, nothing. The only difference is my in-laws can't get away from me anymore.
It's true. So what did you do with your ring in the end?
I put it in a bowl where I can't see it, where I won't lose it. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
It's sacred in a lot of ways, but not right now. Right now it has to be put away. I don't know what to do. It was such a good question when you asked that, because I thought of taking it off. I thought of not losing it, but I didn't think, what do I do? And I don't have children. I'm not going to have children. I feel like it'll be like the tattoo that you changed your mind about, where you just know it's your timeline and it's on your skin. And this person is on my skin. They've been my family. They'll always be my family. So maybe the ring is a representation of the family that I have in essence. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And you're right about that thing. I played with taking it off and walking around the flat with it off, and then I'd put it back on, and I made the mistake of leaving it by my bed the whole time, and I should have hidden it. But I took it off. I made a deliberate thing of taking it off before I went to Australia to do the jungle, and that was...
That's scary.
It was scary. It felt like a really big thing, because I knew I'd be on TV, and I knew that people close to me would notice it. But the day before I went in, I was interviewed by the press to say, this guy's going in. And a journalist for a newspaper said, so when you're in the jungle, are you going to be looking for love? And I went, whoa, no, man, I'm married. And she rightfully said, well, you haven't got a wedding ring on. And it completely caught me off guard. And I stumbled and I stuttered and I went, oh, I've just made the decision I don't wear one. But it was obviously... And that then set the whole tone for them trying to find out what was going on with my marriage and knocking on my mother-in-law's door and fun stuff like that. But you're right, the first time you kind of go out in public without it, it's a statement, man.
But it's also the kind of reverse of, do you remember the first time you went out with it on?
Yeah,
it felt weird, and you looked at your hand and I saw my mother's hand, you know, and it's like...
You must have done this. So when we bought the wedding rings before the wedding, we practiced. We'd sit and watch a film
and
with our wedding rings
weird,
on.
It felt weird, right? Yeah. And you could feel it heavy on your hand and everything. So, and I reckon it took me about a year or so to get used to that. So... physically, it's a thing you need to get used to as well, of all the stuff that goes along with it, the symbolic stuff. God.
Yeah, and you want people to, you know, you want to say, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm just taking my ring off, it's a representation of something that's not there anymore, but you made it a representation of something important when you asked people to come and bring you gifts and eat and rejoice with you and drink with you and clink glasses with you.
Yeah.
So you asked them to come and watch this ring being put on you. So I love hearing that you practice taking off your ring, because I didn't, you know, I get overly sensitive about stuff, and so it's really cool.
By the way, all of my friends that have made the joke, do we get our wedding presents back? Don't make that joke, because I don't know if you're joking or not. I don't know if that's a genuine, but I'm kind of going,
the response is, don't worry, I've still got the receipts for yours.
But you go, I don't know, I don't, what did you get me? I don't remember. It's a joke, is it? Is it a joke?
Yeah.
It's not funny.
Awkwardness. It's people who don't know what to say, but they want to tell you that they're cool with it.
Is everything all right, though, Hemda? Are you doing okay?
I'm doing all right. I smashed my face into a car the other day off my bike.
Oh, man.
And started bleeding from the face, but I'm okay now.
The old face bleed. Wow.
The worst.
Yeah. I'll be talking about this on Keys and the Girl. My audience actually doesn't know what happened, but I smashed my face into my bike lost control, smashed my face in. As I was bleeding, someone stole my phone.
No!
No!
Oh, man!
Yeah, people who were helping me, who were like, hey, we found your phone, it's okay. And I was like, well, my hands are full of blood, so I can't take it. They said, we'll put it in your bag. And then they didn't put it in my bag. They ran away with it, turned it off, and started using the credit cards.
Wow, what scumbags.
That's terrible, man. I'm sorry.
It was the worst.
But on the upside, I was listening to today's Keith and the Girl, and you've got an offer of a very exciting older gentleman who wants to meet up to hook up and then decide what you do. That's what he said. I want to hook up and then decide what we do.
Wowzers.
He sounded like quite the catch.
I'm such a lucky girl.
What a romantic.
He's throwing his half-hearted penis at me. He's just like, I'm 61 years old, so I might not be able to get it up, but you're kind of a lesbo anyway, so.
He actually said that. He said, you're mostly lesbian.
He decided that he just...
Also, the proud boast of, you're mostly lesbian, I can probably match a woman. I bet you can't.
Wow. Wowzers. And if you want to hear more of this messed up filth, KeithandTheGirl.com, or go to iTunes and Keith and the Girl, and go and have a look at the website and see how you can support it. And it's a terribly wicked show, but we love it. Hey, it's nice to talk to you, Hemda. We love seeing you pop up on Twitter and on the YouTube, you call in whenever you want.
Thank you guys for keeping me so sane. I just turn you guys on. I just like, oh my God, I know what time it is in London now, or in England, or wherever you guys speak funny. So I'm really glad.
Hey, you do the same for me. When I drive in and out, I listen to you guys.
I'm going to cut her off. She's being rude. She's gone. She's gone. I'm not having that.
Ah, they're brilliant.
I'm not. How would you rate this call? 1 star. That's what we're getting there. Outrageous behaviour. Something happened yesterday, that I want to talk about, but I've got to talk about it delicately because I don't want to give away who I'm talking about. So I'm going to check. You know this story. So I'm going to change some of the details because I don't want to embarrass anybody.
Is it about the doctor?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm going to change some of the details and make it a little bit vaguer. But the essence of the story, the text of the story, the conversation is going to be the same. But so where I live now, there's a really good shop that I think I'm going to be going to quite a lot because it's a nice place to hang out. And they do nice coffee. It's like a cafe. It's a nice place to hang out. And it's got good Wi-Fi. And I think I'm going to be going there a lot, okay? Because there's not many options there, the places to have a coffee. And this is a good one, right? This is one of a couple. So, now, the old lady that works behind the counter is delightful. Absolutely delightful. And we had really good chat, okay? The first time I was there, we had a really, really good chat. And we just talked about the area, and she told me all kinds of bits of old lady, probably in her 80s, told me all kinds of stuff. And we talked about animals, and I talked about the dog who's staying with me and Velvet. And, you know, we had a nice chat. And it was lovely. I thought, what a delightful old lady. This neighborhood really is wonderful. So I went back there. Was it yesterday? It was today.
It was today.
Went back there today, and we got chatting again. I said, oh, you can tell me this. You live round here. I need to register with a doctor, right? Where is there a good doctor? She said, there's a couple of surgeries. This is the one I go to. It's really good. And opposite it is a dentist's. And I said, oh, okay. I should probably register with a dentist. I think they're a bit of a scam, but I should register. And she said, it's private, but I've been there for years and I wanted to stay there. I said, OK, well, I'll go and have a look at it. She said there are two dentists working there. OK, there are two dentists working there. I go for the woman, but there's also a man. I'm thinking, oh, this is weird. OK, she says, yeah, I really like the woman. I do like the woman. I don't go with the man because I don't like coloureds. I'll continue. She said, I don't like colours. I'm sorry for the language I'm using, OK? We're just on the right side of what you can and can't say. I'm aware that this language is offensive to a lot of people, so I apologise. I made the call that we're just on the right side, right? We're not going to cross that line, don't worry. But apologies if you're offended. She said, I don't like colours. In fact, I really don't like colours. I've got a big problem with them.
Wow.
But that's another story. And I'm sat there. It's been a lovely chat. You've seen me, Catherine. I'm so good at flirting with old women.
Yeah,
I'm the master flirter of women in their 70s and 80s. I call them love, and they love it. And I'm sat there thinking,
yeah, she just threw a dead cat on the table.
And I didn't know what to say, because I'm not going to say, oh, you can't say, now you can't. I'm not going to say that. I was so phased by it. Maybe if I had been less phased, I would have said, oh, well, you know that not everybody. I don't know what I would have said. There's no good. I said, OK, well, I don't really have a problem, so I might see him. She went, well, you know, I don't really get on with them, but I'm getting better at it. There's a guy too chops down who's very black. I'm going in my head, and he seems okay. It's the phrase very black.
Wow.
And he seems okay. And
it's as if, I don't know, they're human beings.
And I'm telling you this, dear listener, maybe because I'd like to know what you think I should have done, but I'm not doing it as, and this is the phone in, what would you have done in that situation? Because I'm just telling you this happened. And my thinking is, she's very old. She's like mid to late 80s, okay? So whatever I say is not going to change her opinion. She's set in her ways. But I do feel bad that perhaps, I do feel bad that I didn't say something. I was just so 03444991000. I was just so thrown by this delightful old woman. She's lovely. Right? She's lovely. Throwing this grenade at me. That instead of picking it up and throwing it back, I just sat there and let it explode on my lap. I didn't know what to say.
It's a shocking thing to be confronted by.
Yeah.
Must be more shocking if you are the person in question.
Now, I get the thing. She's from a completely different generation, right? But I also don't quite buy that excuse. You know, I don't quite buy that excuse. For example, I grew up when it was still seen as a bit weird to be gay. Mm. It was seen as weird to be gay, and I would be around people that would think that being gay was filthy. It was bent ear, you know. I am fully supportive and embrace, you know, gay, lesbians, bisexuals and trans. So people can change. Change implies that my opinions of gay people when I was younger was that they were disgusting. And that never was my opinion.
But you've educated yourself.
Well, but that was never my opinion that they were bad people. Mm. So that's not exactly the best example. God, this is tricky, isn't it? Because I'm going to offend somebody. I didn't know what to say is the only thing. I did not know what to say. What she said was horrible and abhorrent. But she's also a really nice lady. There's not a palindrome.
A dichotomy.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I will be seeing this lady, you know, I'm going to go to this place again. I like this place. It's a nice place. I'm going to be in there a lot. And
you haven't got the relationship with her at this point where you can challenge anything.
I've met her twice.
Yeah.
I've met her twice. And I say, I'm going to be seeing a lot of this woman. So I don't want to kind of, well, saying I don't want to sour it, but then I do feel like I have let my principles down. I feel like I've let you lot down, the listeners down, the black and ethnic minority people that I don't know, BME, isn't it? That listen to this show, you know, and I feel that I've let you guys down by not going, oh, come on now, that's not appropriate. I should, don't like the word should. I would have preferred it if I had said something, but I still now, you know, like 12 hours, 13 hours later, I still don't know what I would have said.
No, I know.
Don't know what I would have said. I don't know what the right thing is to say. I don't know. I don't know.
No.
And that's it. You know, that's where we're at. If you want to call in with, if you've got a suggestion of what I could have said or could have done, give us a call. I don't expect you to, because it's such a tough old thing. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Roger's got it. Roger's got it on Twitter. You have to see this person on a regular basis. The typical British polite response, which is what you did and what most would do, is to nod and move on. It's a tough one, though, isn't it? That's it. Summed it up perfectly.
But you did say, I don't have a problem, so...
I think I did. Well, I think I did. I'm wondering if I've added that retrospectively to make me sound better in the story. It's what we do as human beings, is when we the more we retell a story and the more distance we get from a story, this is a known thing, the more we shift the story to make ourselves more heroic in it. It's kind of a known phenomenon. And I'm wondering if I've done that, but if I don't know if that line actually happened or if I slipped in for this retelling. And next time I tell it, I'll be slightly more heroic in it. Isn't that funny? It's a funny old world.
Well, listen, you know, if you do continue to talk to this person, your relationship will develop to a point where maybe you can say that.
Yeah, maybe.
Not that it's going to change her.
Sorry, I've got to just turn my back onto you, Catherine, because there's a woman in bed again. It's naughty Naomi.
Good evening.
Good evening, Naomi. And I just caught a glimpse of your tats.
Oh, no, it's not my tats. It's my... Yeah. I'm covered in them.
Yeah. Well,
are you?
Yeah. Look.
Well, she is and all. Flipping heck, Naomi.
I will show you my new one. It's on my arms, don't worry.
What is that?
What?
I can. What is it? Is it rock?
It's
is
a medical
it...
alert. Medical alert one.
Oh, and what does that get you? What do you win?
I win an EpiPen jab in my leg.
Yes, man.
But is that legally binding? Because wasn't there a guy in America who had do not resuscitate on his chest, and the doctors did, and he was going to sue them or something? Because
that's the opposite of do not resuscitate.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
If I was going to say a normal person, and that's terrible. If I were to inject an EpiPen, where the hell are you going, woman? Sit still. goodness sakes! If I were to inject myself with an EpiPen now, what would happen? Would I get like a rush of love?
You would go into
space.
It's like an adrenaline rush. Yes. Oh yeah.
That's what I want for Christmas is an EpiPen, please.
It's a legal drug and it's amazing.
Yes, man. What you got for us, Naomi?
I was just bringing up about what you said about the lady in the shop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You handled it really, really well.
Did I?
I have, at the back of my house, is a chicken run, and the old gentleman, he must be about 90 years old, who looks after the chickens.
Mm.
And I always pop over to say hi every morning, good evening every night. And about a week ago, he goes, oh, there's my chocolate button. I went,
Now, wow. He means that as a term of affection, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he genuinely thinks that that's an acceptable thing to say.
I just went, Miss Sir, I went, you can't really say that, but your chocolate button's got a name called Naomi. I went, please acknowledge people by their names, because I would really appreciate that.
Oh, well done, you told him.
I'm getting nervous even thinking about a confrontation like that.
Oh my gosh, I wanted to cry, but out of respect for him for nearly being 500 years old, I thought I'll word it nicely.
Oh, well done for speaking out.
But I just said to him, you can't really say things like that nowadays,
yeah,
because people might take it to heart and take it to offence. But I understand.
But then also, old people don't get the line, you can't say that. They don't get that because they come from an era when you could say anything you wanted.
Especially if you're old.
Yeah. Yeah. So why should I not say that just because some young person, some young, what was it, chocolate button?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What made it more uncomfortable, because he's about a zillion years old, he's deaf in both ears, doesn't wear his hearing aid.
No.
So I've had to repeat myself like 3 times at the top of my voice. So all the neighbours came out, so I'm like,
oh, listen to her.
Having a go at an old man.
Shouting at an old man just because he was affectionate. Unbelievable.
I know.
Did I handle it okay? Because I've come away feeling... Here's the thing. I'm going to see this woman again, and at some point this conversation might come up again. And I guess this is what I'm trying to do. I would like to be armed with a response if she says something like that again, that clears my conscience, I guess. That means I've expressed my belief and it's shown that I'm disappointed in what she said. I don't want an argument with her. I don't want to go into, you know, to taking words apart and what. I want her to know that I find what she said unacceptable, and then move on. But I don't know what that sentence is.
Yeah, without offending her or getting upset.
You don't want to crush her into the ground.
That's it. It's one of them things you need to sit back and just think about how to word it, especially because she's of that generation.
Mm. But I don't buy the generational excuse.
Not all the time, because sometimes they can say things and to get a response or reaction.
How long ago was this? Did this happen with you and the chicken man?
About a week ago.
Oh no!
And when I first moved in the house, we've been in this house for about 4 years.
Yeah.
And there ain't. Oh, another darky.
Looked
at him, I went, I'm not that dark, the sun got me that much.
Yeah.
And I was really offended, but I was like, I've got to handle this really well. And I went, well, I'm not that dark. I went, I've been born here all my life.
Having to bat it off with humour, man, must be tiring.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And I was like, okay. And it chuckled away, but I said it. Because I'm not a very quiet person. Mm. I speak very loud.
Oh, you gobby, yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we've got that.
5'3", but my mouth compensates.
Where's your husband tonight? I don't believe she's got a husband. If she has, he's tied up in the freezer. Where is he?
He's in the chicken run.
Oh, is he the old man? You're married to the old man. That's what happened. He's your husband. Naomi, I've got to go because we've got loads of calls. It's lovely to talk to you.
No problems. You too.
Ta-ta. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye. Bye. No one would have been offended by the D word there, but I feel I ought to do it. Sorry if you were offended by the D word, but it's a human being recounting their story and sharing it with us, and if you use it
like it's nothing,
yeah,
then maybe you ought to recognise the fact that it is offensive.
Yeah, yeah. I like Naomi. She's brilliant. But it must be so... Just having to bat, you know, that stuff back with humour.
When you realise that people don't see you as, you know, Naomi or Ian or Catherine, and the first thing they see is that thing, a differentness.
Yeah. Pete's on the line. Good evening, Pete.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening, Pete.
You all right?
Very, very well, mate. What have you got for us tonight?
Okay, well... Firstly, I had a suggestion for what you might say to the lady.
Yes.
But then I heard you talking. And I'd like to ask you a question.
Okay.
At what age do you count somebody as being old?
37.
Right. Well, anyone over 37 then.
Yeah. Is old. Oh yeah, no, I'm not even joking. I made that pronouncement when I was about 30 that anyone over 37 was old, and then I passed it. I do think you're old over that. You know, you're young up until about 25. 25 to 37 is kind of middling. 37, you are old, man.
That includes you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm ancient. Oh God, right. You should hear me sitting down in the chair. I sound like my. And then getting up again. I'm old, Pete, and I'm embracing it. Do you know what I'm doing on Sunday? I'm putting my CDs in alphabetical order.
Wow.
I'm an old man, and I can't wait.
You've got CDs. That does make you old.
Yeah. Well, my vinyl, I've not done the vinyl in alphabetical order yet, but that's in the cupboard under the stairs.
Okay. I'll pass on to the simple thing of, why would it not be okay just to say to this old lady, why do you have a problem with this particular group of people?
I know what you mean. And part of me did want to ask her that.
Uh-huh.
But then I thought I could get involved in a really awkward conversation here. Because whatever reason she has for disliking black and black people, that's not going to be a good enough reason. Is it?
I understand what you're saying there, but there may be a reason for her.
No. No, but whatever reason she has for disliking every member of the black community is not going to be a good enough reason, is it? It's not going to be a valid reason for disliking a whole race.
I need to make a distinction. It won't be a valid reason for her to say that, but it might be a valid reason for her to have that opinion.
Because whatever has happened, unless every black person in the world has done something awful to her, I suspect that she had a run-in with one person who happened to be black, and because of that, she now dislikes a whole race. Well, that's stupid. Isn't it?
Just stupid, exactly the word, yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe, you're probably right there, but I thought maybe for some reason she has encountered any certain number of people of that group, and for her it had made a strong impression of negativity.
I'm sure whatever happened, it has created that strong impression of negativity. But for her then to extrapolate that, you know, an incident, a handful of incidents from people of colour, to then extrapolate that to everybody who is dark is illogical.
Yeah, it's offensive and pretty stupid, I guess. You're right, yeah.
And I just thought that if I said, oh, what happened, then we get into to an unpleasant story about someone doing something to her. That's what I assume it is. I'm then supposed to try and deprogram her and go, well, you can't, you know, have the conversation we're having now. It's pointless, you know. So I didn't know. Go on, Kath.
What I found interesting was her comment that I am getting better, meaning that she recognises that it is a problem she has, and she's trying to change, which is unusual.
Yeah, but then she said, "But the guy, there's
Especially
a guy down the road."
She's old.
Yeah, but then she said, "There's a guy who's a couple of shops down the road who's very black, and he's okay." The phrase "very black" was there. The rest is slightly my own wording, but
yes, well, it needs investigation.
It
and
does,
good
Pete.
Good luck with it.
Hey, thank you, mate, and I appreciate your call. I've got to go because we're late for the news. Jerry, stay there. We'll come to you in a bit. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
He has made a covenant with the night, and with the darkness he is in agreement.
Uncut, after-hours conversation for the up-all-night generation.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
I want that newsreader guy to say the naughty north and the sexy south. Otherwise, it's pointless. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. She is Catherine Boyle.
Yes, I am.
You can listen weeknights from 10 on DAB by downloading the app or by going to talkradio.co.uk. In a little bit, we're going to play an interview I did today in just outside Swindon with Colin Moulding and Terry Chambers from XTC. It's a thrill for me because I love those guys. Gotta love those guys. In the meantime, you go about 10 minutes to give us a call. 03444991000. And then at 1 o'clock, it's Paul Ross. Paul Ross is in for Martin. So that'll be nice, won't it? Let's go to Jerry. Good evening, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello, Jerry.
Let's speak about the old lady, please. The old lady in your village.
Yes.
And let's see. She's probably a bit. No. She comes in the year of Matt Millen. blood, there was a blood speech. So she does sort of stuff, she said, come into water. And she says she lived in other people's all the time, her life. So.
I didn't, I'm going to be honest, I didn't get a word of that, Jer.
Oh, sorry.
Try it, sing it.
Oh, I think she is from an era of rivers of blood.
Oh, well, no, I don't, yeah, Enoch Powell, I don't think she's a fascist.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't think she means it to be neutral. I think it's just her language. I don't think she means context. It's not
great. Well, no, okay, it is her language, of course, but she's also saying she dislikes all black people. That's not language, that's philosophy. There are other people, I know other people of her era who may say coloureds instead of black, or may, you know, but they don't dislike people of colour.
Carers, it's a cheerful language. Carers, go on. I say, it's like certain races of disgusting carers. They say, look at these people, and they say, they bring them this, and they go on about using M words, and it's disgusting.
Hang on, who's disgusting? Your carers are disgusting.
These carers of the past have come in using that word.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
It's disgusting.
Yeah. I think we're getting better, but we've still got to flush out a little bit of it. Jerry, listen, I'm going to let you go just because we've had a sudden rush of calls and I've got 5 minutes.
Okay,
have a good weekend. Yeah. Stick it up your bum, etc., etc. Nick.
How are you, Ian? How's things all right?
I'm very well, Nicholas. What have you got for us tonight?
Well, I mean, I've just been listening to your story about the old woman. I think you should just leave her as it is, really. I would like to say she don't know any better. It was the sort of time she was brought up.
Well,
I mean, there's an old man, but there's an old man I talk to, and he says the same to me. He said we used to run down to the bottom of the road to look at a coloured person.
Yeah, but so you're picking up on the use of the word coloured. I'm more concerned. I'm less concerned about that word, and more concerned about her saying she has a really big problem with coloured people.
Yeah, but the only problem she has is a problem she's probably ingrained in her. She's probably don't trust them. What do you think that problem is?
Well, I don't know that, and that's the thing. She does not like. I felt very uncomfortable being involved in a conversation with someone who confided in me, who felt it was appropriate to confide in me, that she has, quotes, a really, really big problem with coloured people, but there was a guy in a couple of shops down who was all right, despite the fact he's very black. Now, you're saying leave her alone. I don't want to re-educate her. I don't want to change. I not up to me to change the way she thinks, but I felt that I had let down my friends and certain listeners to this show by not expressing my discomfort at what she said. That's all.
Do you think if you asked her what the problem was, do you think that would be part of you sort of explaining to her that it's not like this, you know, they're, you know, you shouldn't think like that? Or...
Yeah, well, again, it could be. I don't want to change the way she thinks. I don't think that's necessarily my job. If that happened, that would be great. But I don't think that's my job, and I don't necessarily think it is potentially possible for her. But asking her, it could do, or it might. It could do. I don't know. It could do. It could lead to a conversation where I go, well, yeah, okay, this bad thing happened to you X number of years ago, but I have had nothing but. You know, even that sounds patronizing. I don't know how to do it without sounding a little bit racist myself, if I'm honest. Because you can't go, well, I've met some lovely black people. Because that sounds like a dumb, middle-class, slightly racist thing to say. I've met some lovely black people. Their food is, it's very spicy, but it's delicious. So I don't know, Nick, is the answer. I don't know.
It is a tough one, Ian, and you know, I don't know. So really, I've been thinking about it myself, but, yeah. You know, it is a difficult one, especially of her age, the age she is at.
Yeah.
And you don't want to, you know, sort of, I don't know, yeah, it's a difficult one
All right.
to think about it.
Nick, thank you. Listen, I'm going to move on. Just we've only got a few minutes before XTC, so let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul. Big rush of calls all of a sudden. Yes, Paul.
Good evening, Ian. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, thanks, mate. We haven't got much time.
No problems. I just want to see if you've got any good jokes for my five-year-old.
Good jokes for your five-year-old?
Yeah, he's got a few. He's got about half a dozen.
He knows the one about what do you call a sheep with no legs? A cloud?
No. Ah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we go.
Oh, racist, what's brown and sticky?
Okay. Yeah, what's brown and sticky?
A stick.
I like it. Okay. What's orange and sounds like a parrot?
A carrot. Here's a good carrot, one. Yeah. I just made this up, but I know my boys would laugh at this. What's brown and comes out of your bum? Poo.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Five-year-old's going to love that. Well, I know my crowd.
Well, then, if we're going on that theme, it's why were Piglet's hands dirty?
Go on.
Because he was playing with poo.
Hey! That is a great one. Paul, always happy to help, buddy. Let us know how it goes. Hello, Ben.
Oh, hello, Ian. You said about 10 minutes. Just listen, what happened to Barry from Watford?
Well,
it wasn't cool because I've been listening since LBC.
It was on Tuesday.
Was he?
He was on Tuesday.
Obviously didn't he?
What is this? You're a part timer, Ben.
Well, I'm getting better, mate. But I used to phone up, didn't I? I was Lewis. I was very drunk at the time. LBC, you know, when you were on LBC.
Yeah, that was 12 years ago. How am I supposed to remember a drunk guy calling me 12 years ago?
No idea. No
what
idea.
Did you used to phone in about, Lewis, Ben?
Well, just used to. I really don't know. It was.
If you don't remember it and you did it, how am I supposed to remember it?
Yeah, you're right. But I just remember Barry from Watford.
He's not been on for a while, but he came on Tuesday and we had a rap battle.
Oh, fantastic!
Yeah.
All right.
Nice one. Cheers, Ben.
Thank you.
Ta-ta. Bye. Well, that was that sorted.
Took the wind out of your sails a bit.
did a little bit. Oh, man alive! Don't call in now. Don't call in now. We'll hit the break early now, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about XTC and why I think they're the best band this country has ever made.
Closing time conversation for tax inspectors, taxi drivers and taxidermists. Great big talk for the wee small hours.
You've been trolling me big time, mate.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
There we go. Vix has just tweeted, from racism to jokes for five-year-olds in seconds. Best show on the radio, isn't it, though? So don't call in now, because we're kind of done with the calls for tonight. Catherine, you're off now for 2 weeks. Anything exciting happening?
Loads of exciting things.
Beautiful.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Not really.
Okay.
Well, because I know that you'll send me pictures anyway, which I'm looking forward to. I miss you when you're away. Who's producing?
Hayley.
Oh, I like Hayley. She's, but she's not as good as you.
Correct.
I do like Hayley, but I miss you when you're away. You know, because the producer-presenter thing has always been it's been a good relationship for us. But then it's evolved from me being my show to kind of, you know, being us. Mm-hmm. So I miss you. And then, so 2 weeks of you not being there.
Then I'm on my own.
Then I'm off and you're hosting,
yeah.
Which is good. That's good news for people.
But then we'll get back to, whatever normal is.
Yeah, September. Have a nice holiday.
Thanks.
So, XTC, flipping brilliant. You know the hits, man. Senses working overtime, making plans for Nigel, Sergeant Rock and all of that stuff. And Andy Partridge is the guy that gets all the attention. And I think Andy, genius, maybe slightly strong, but certainly borderline genius, is one of Rock's great eccentrics, I'm going to go with. But there were other people in the band, and Colin Moulding was the bass player and also wrote some of the biggest hits. He wrote Making Plans for Nigel, which I think probably was their biggest hit. He wrote Generals and Majors and Grass and King for a Day and some big songs, man. And a flipping amazing bass player. And Terry Chambers was the original drummer. And when Partridge had his breakdown in 82 and said, I'm not touring anymore, Terry Chambers went, well, do you know what? I'm moving to Australia. and they have got together. They recorded an EP that came out late last year, which is a delight. And they've just announced that they're playing, as TC and I, Terry Chambers and I, it's a good name. They're playing four dates at Swindon Art Centre, which is where they live and where they've always lived. And they sold, I think there might be, they just released a few more tickets. But these people haven't played together for years and years and years, and they are bricking it. I think you will enjoy this. So this was me chatting to Colin Moulding and Terry Chambers from XTC earlier on today. Well, this is exciting. I've driven all the way out to sunny Swindon to go and meet Colin Moulding of XTC. Let's see if he's given me the right address. Yeah. Hey, it's Colin Moulding. Hello, brother. How you doing? Brother, how you doing? Nice to see you.
Come
in. Hey, hello.
Oh, God, the kids are off school as well.
Tell me about it. I know. I'm dealing with it.
Oh, God. How are you, man? You're right.
I'm all right. Yes.
How are you?
Yeah, they have Terry at the back with the message.
Oh, wow.
Seeing themselves at the back.
This weather's ridiculous, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, yeah.
I'm going to say it. It's a little bit too hot.
Yeah.
It's a bit too much.
TC.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Lee.
Hello, mate. Hello, everyone. Hello, under there. You're right.
It's the neighbours. Yeah.
How you doing? I'm Ian. Nice to meet you.
You're right.
He's tall. I thought he was fixing the fence. You've got him.
Well, I'll give him some creosote, I think. I've got some in the shed.
Oh,
how you been doing, anyway?
I'm all right, thank you.
You want a cup of tea or a soft drink or something?
Just some water, I think. Water will do the job.
Spring water with some ice. How's that?
Oh, that sounds great. Look at this.
An industrial fan.
This is the nerve centre. This is the bunker.
This is where it happens. Where shall I sit this out of the way? You have the chairs, I'll sit on the stool.
Oh, no, I'll sit on the stool. You're a guest and I'm only, I don't live here.
Hang on, what do you mean you're only?
You're
the bloody drummer from XTC, man. Colin, I've met you before, so I'm going to turn my back on you slightly, if you don't mind, because I want to speak to Terry. How you doing, man? It's nice to see you.
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay. So TC and I, great name, by the way.
Thank you.
Were there high fives all round when you came up with that bad boy?
What a high five!
Oh, come on!
Not that. No. I think we had a bit of a think about the name, and I think the first thing that sort of came up was XXTC, and we thought, no, that's too sort of, perhaps too X obvious,
of
you know.
The X of it, not XTC, as in EXTC.
Yeah, EX sort of.
Well, the X has been lobbed off, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So we thought that was kind of okay.
XTC, you know, I mean. I think that was the first thing that sort of came up. We thought, oh, geez, you know.
But your listeners probably won't know that maybe they don't know about Terry being TC.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
They may not. Oh. So being Terry Chambers.
The eye. Can I turn the fan off?
Yeah.
Because of the noise. It means we're going to sweat.
I don't know.
He doesn't know how to do it.
That's just on number one as well.
I want you guys to sweat. So you two are playing some gigs. When was the last time? Okay, I will explain this, and my fans are quite musical literate, so they will know about XTC. They will know that you stopped touring when?
1982.
Have you played gigs together since then?
No, never.
Wow.
In San Diego, California, and it was 82, wasn't it? I can't remember the month, actually. But
yes, that was our last gig.
So that's quite a long time ago.
It is a long time ago. Well, the question is, what has taken you so long? Because obviously, Andy pulled the plug on the touring. That was his decision.
Andy had his breakdown, as everybody knows. That's well documented.
Yeah.
You know. And we just proceeded to make records for the next 30-odd years.
And you made, you know, I'm a huge fan. You've made some brilliant records. But was there never a point where, you know, like when in the Beach Boys, when Brian Wilson had his breakdown and said, I can't tour anymore. And they just got, they got Glenn Campbell in and they got Bruce Johnson in. Was there never a moment where you went, well, maybe we could go out and tour without Andy and still do the songs justice?
I don't think we ever considered it, you know. XTC without Andy was unthinkable, really.
Yeah.
So we just made records. We just accepted it. But Terry left the band around that time because obviously that was one step too far for him, you know.
Right.
And because touring was like kind of a major part of his agenda. And but the rest of us accepted it. And me being a writer as well, it was kind of a consolation prize to the fact that we could spend more time writing, you know. Dave kind of mourned it, I think, but accepted it. And then Terry kind of, a few months later, Terry left.
Really. Was it the touring thing, Terry, that was the final straw for you? Or was it, because I read a report somewhere that it was English Settlement? Was it?
The Mumma album.
Mumma album,
and
then
you were pissed off with this.
Well, I didn't think that the songs, I mean, I could be stand corrected on this. I didn't think they were, after English Settlement, which was the previous album, which was, you know, it seemed to be, everything seemed to be building on the rock. I felt that some of the songs that we were rehearsing at that time, they were not quite as strong as the English Settlement thing. Yeah. So that, in a combination of, you know, I'm never going to tour again type of thing, these things sort of started to add up to me, and I'm thinking, you know, is it time for me? Plus, you know, I had a marriage sort of situation as well at this time, and all these things sort of seemed to build up, and really they sort of added up to one thing, really, which was me to say, well, perhaps it's time I moved on from this, you know. And Andy actually rang me at that point in time and said, well, listen, you know, if you're worried about the songs, I'll scrap the lot and start again.
Wow.
I said, you know, I said, look, they're your songs, Andy. I said, I can't be, you know, you're not going to cut your arm off for me. You know, I think it's time I sort of just moved away. And then basically that was it. Right. So
they took on a bit more of a folky vibe, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they were slightly folky, but it was electric folk with English Settlement.
Right.
But they took on a bit more of an acoustic kind of tone.
It's a very gentle album.
Well, it looked as if, you know, Ecstasy as a band was sort of moving in a slightly different direction to the sort of like the thump whack sort of tradition that I provided in the early days, as things changed when Barry left. So, you know, it was just sort of like a natural evolution, I guess, for the band.
Yeah.
And somebody had to give, and it was me.
And then you went off to Australia, is that
right? Yeah, I went there for 34 years, yeah.
Wow. And were you drumming when you were over
Well,
there?
When I first got there, I wasn't really doing anything at all. And I got approached by a band over there to sort of fill in for somebody, you know, through a friend of mine that was an agent out there. And I thought, God, I've got to try and do something. So, I sort of went in and played about 18 months with a band called Dragon out there, you know, which, you know, it put food on the table, but it certainly wasn't an enjoyable experience, you know, because, I mean, we were four lads from Swindon type of thing, grew up, Colin and myself have been playing since we were 17, and I don't know, you just have that sort of bond there that, you know, when I went into the Dragon thing, it was like a hired gun, you know. And I don't know, you never really feel part of the they were in jokes. They were Kiwis, actually, and there was sort of four or five of them, and, you know, they were talking about things I knew nothing about.
Talking their own language, don't they?
Right,
you know, they're obviously from a foreign country, but you have your own little shorthands, don't you?
So I always the odd man out, there's no doubt. So I think in every band, I think.
I'm going to kind of flop all over the place. How did you were you two always in contact then for the last 30 odd
he'd come
years?
Over for family dues, right. You know, and occasionally we might go out for a beer, you know, but generally, you know, I never saw him.
Well, then what shifted this time then? What was the conversation where you went, yeah, maybe we should do something together?
Well, Terry came over and intended to stay.
Right.
Because he was having personal problems and was getting divorced. And
same here, brother.
Well, I joined the club.
Yeah, isn't it? What a club to be a member of.
Well, it's a happy club afterwards, I usually find.
Right,
you know,
okay.
During that period of time, it's a difficult time. As you well know, when you're going through this thing, you know, you're just getting pulled from pillar to post, and it's anybody that says it's an amicable divorce probably hasn't had a real, you know.
I'm sort of coming towards the end of it, but still slow, and the fact everyone bandies that word divorce around, and you think, oh, it's going to be easy. Oh, it's horrible,
it's dreadful, because the only people that make anything out of it are the solicitors.
If you know what I mean,
because one side will drag it out, oh, you want to be doing this, and in the end, neither yourself or your spouse, not that you go into this thing to get the upper hand, but it just seems to be that they don't sort of make the passage easy.
Right.
You know.
Well, I'm sorry you're going through that.
Well, I've gone through it.
Oh,
I've
is it done?
I'm out the other side.
Oh, well. And it's all right at the end?
I think so. Well, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's never ideal, but
better, it's over now, and you know, I've still come out.
So you moved back over here,
yes,
and that was when the cogs started turning. That maybe,
well, it's actually, he was over here a week after he'd been over here a week. He came to for a wedding, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he came for a wedding and stopped rather longer than he thought he would do.
Right.
And then he said, "Well, I'm intending to move back for good."
Yeah.
And I thought the cogs of my mind started to turn, as they say, and I thought, I wonder, would you be into recording some songs? And he, you know, we went out and got really drunk one night. This was at the White Horse, Uffington White Horse. There's a pub at the foot of the White Horse called the White Horse, believe it or not.
Yeah. Cleverly done.
Yeah. And we just got horribly drunk in there one Sunday night and filled our faces with pizza, you know, washing our faces in pizza. I popped the question. I said, do you fancy...
Yeah, right. Got down on one knee.
So the next thing you know, I'm married again. Yeah. So I got a ring and the rest is hysterical. Yeah.
Very much similar to the way that Ian Gillan ended up getting the job for Black Sabbath.
I don't know the story.
Well, apparently he'd left Deep Purple and Ozzy had left Black Sabbath. Yeah. And I don't know whether he's got any relevance to the story. But, you know, once again, he went out with Tony Iommi and Geezer Butler, as I understand the story, and once again got horribly drunk. And then Gillan woke up the next day realising that he'd had this phone call saying, you know, you're late for rehearsals. And apparently he arranged more or less... sort of, you know, next thing you know, he's sort of touring with the Stonehenge thing and all the rest of it, you know. But I'm hoping Air Ending will be a bit happier than that, because obviously Gillan ended up sort of saying, well, Ozzy's really the singer for this band, you know what I mean? And they sort of went back to where they should be. So, but I think it was just
that moment.
Well, it was just a moment of drunken lunacy, literally.
So you decided to record and you released this wonderful EP. When did the EP come out? That was a while ago, wasn't it?
It came out in October.
Oh, it was last year.
Of last year,
okay.
Yeah.
And how did you find that? How did you find work? Because it's the bass and the drums, integral backbone of the of any band.
Well, Colin basically had a couple of these songs that he was going to record anyway, two of which we sort of wrote once I got involved, I guess. I just sort of filled the gap, I guess, and sort of made it a little bit, because Colin was saying it's sort of very soul destroying just sort of working on your own,
right.
You know. So the fact that I sort of came on board sort of meant that we can sort of spend time together here.
Yeah.
And it just sort of eases the burden a little bit, because you can then sort of bounce things off of me thinking, you know, and you're not totally making the decisions there, because if you're a little unsure, it's just nice to sort of have somebody to sort of think, well, what do you think then, you know?
Soul destroying, though, doing stuff on your own.
It is.
Really? Why?
I think the writing is okay. I think you need to do the writing on your own, but the actual physicality of getting these machines working and you know, jumping the other side of the curtain.
I should say we're sat in a very fancy, compact, but a very fancy home studio. It's got the whole... I can see them just poking out. I better get hot in here when you're playing. That's got all the stuff. So, actually the act of recording.
Yeah, it's a three-man job,
right.
You know. I mean, in the old days, you relied on other people to do all that, you know. But since then, over the years, I've got little bits of equipment and stuff, you know. And I thought, well, if I'm going to record anything, I certainly can't. No one's going to sign me. So I thought, well, I better get some recording equipment and try and do it myself, which I did do. And but it was kind of... It was a struggle, kind of, the actual physicality of recording, you know. The writing is different. You can just lie in your bed with your laptop and you just plug in a keyboard and away you go.
That's your technique, is that your...
Oh, yes.
Your secret is doing it in
bed. Doesn't everybody do it that way? That's what everybody does
so
that way.
The songs are kind of written in bed, you know. And I thought, well, we've got to try and bring these songs to life. And it just so happens that... Mr. Terry Chambers turned up on my doorstep.
And it was...
I got him out of bed, basically.
You're coming out to play, Colin.
Yeah.
And XTC fans are thrilled, by this. And the EP is a joy. It's a delight to hear. To hear you two playing together again is great. It must have been... The reaction must have been pleasing, because there's a lot of love out there for you guys.
The reaction to the EP, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, bewildering. We didn't know we were going to get the reaction that we did, you know. It was kind of, oh, Christ, you know. And so when we sold more than what we thought, oh, my God.
And we thought, well, should we do some shows, you know? I was, having written all those songs for XTC over the years, I thought, my God, I'm never going to hear those songs in a concert hall. And I'm just thinking, well, now TC is here, I'm wondering, what's the chances of us doing some shows?
You know? Why did you never do shows on your own before? Why was there never an evening with Colin Moulding presenting the hits from XTC? You know what? Did it just never occur to you? Were you afraid?
I don't know. Just providing the impetus, just right. him turning up. It was just kind
was
of it was the push to do it, you know. But I'm not. I mean, recording is my first love. Yeah. I have to say, and writing and recording is my first love. And but you know, I enjoyed gigs up to a point, but it was a kind of. You know, the 5 years that we had touring with XTC in the early days.
It was relentless, wasn't it?
It was relentless, yeah. And
did that suck the fun out of it?
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's what, you know, led to Andy making his decision. If we'd have had more sympathetic management,
right.
instead of just sort of like Thank trying you. To turn this thing into a money-making machine, as most of them do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's in it to sort of make money or make a living at least. But, you know, you're sort of more or less treated like a machine. And some people... hold up to the rigours of the road better than others.
Right.
And I think in Andy's case, you know, being the front man as well, the added pressure with him, I think basically that took its toll. But I didn't realise that until sort of later on, because I was a young guy at the time thinking, ah, shit, you've done it now.
Yeah.
You know, just a knee-jerk reaction from me, perhaps, and not quite fully understanding that, you know, Andy at that time was off Valium. I had never, didn't have any idea that he was on it in the first place, yeah. Yet alone to be, have his pills sort of like thrown down a toilet, you know, a night before a gig. I mean, it was just something that I certainly wasn't aware of any of that.
Do you regret leaving when you did?
Yeah, I think if we'd have had good management, maybe they'd have sort of come round to me and said, listen, let's all have a break and have a calm down. But no, it was just sort of, you know, well, if you're not touring on the road, then you better get in the studio and record, you know. So it was that. So Andy never really got like the rest that he perhaps needed. But as I say, I sort of blame management for that. And they, you know, are there any sympathetic managers out there? Are there?
If so, get in touch immediately.
Well, I don't know. They'll have to be a very low percentage as opposed to 50%, which they normally get or whatever.
I think mental illness then, which is what it is, I suppose, wasn't really understood then. It's not really understood now, but it's understood more.
Yeah.
And then it was just kind of, put yourself together, you know, man. Yeah, what are you playing at?
That's right. Yeah. As I say, I'm harping on about management, I know, but, you know, I think with good management and man management more so than anything, you know, or person management, you know, they could have seen that this thing was beginning to fragment, you know, and I think basically the whole band needed a rest at that point, you know. So instead of sort of,
if they said have 6 months off, go off on holiday, go be with your family, and then come back, it might have been different.
Yeah, I think Andy could have sort of perhaps pulled himself together a little bit more, and I think, you know, whether he would have played live anymore, but I think just the gradual build up to that really sort of put him over the edge, you know, without, you know, somebody coming in there and sort of helping the guy out.
Let's talk about the live shows. Is it four nights at the Swindon Arts Centre?
Yes, four nights at the Swindon Arts Centre, folks, so come along and clap along.
And have you booked this all yourself? You've done this kind of like all yourself?
Yes, we booked it all ourselves. We thought, well, let's form a combo with two other guys, which we have done. We've had a little bit of rehearsal, and let's just play the songs in their raw state, you know. No back screen projection, folks.
No dancing girls.
No.
No lasers.
No, it's just going to be, you're just going to be looking at us four. That's it, basically. Yeah. And listening to the tunes, because it's about the music.
Yeah. And so what are you doing? What songs are you doing?
Well, that would be telling, wouldn't
it? Oh, come on, look at this. He's playing the game.
This man, everyone wants a scoop.
He might desert us in droves.
The problem with it is we're still sort of trying to sort the actual running order of these
songs. Because it's not until October, is it? So you've got...
No, that's right.
Actually, there's a couple of months. Yeah.
We may tell you something now, and it might not be the same in 3 months' time. That's the problem, because we're still trying to get this stuff together with these other two guys, as well as ourselves. And... yeah, it's sort of taking shape, but, you know, we're still juggling, you know, where they're going and all this stuff.
I'm going to say some titles, and I'm going to watch your eyes. King for a Day.
I'm not saying anything.
Whoa! He's closed.
I've closed my eyes.
Terry, look at yes, Terry.
I am going to poke.
Terry,
face,
look at me. Look at me.
Well, actually,
grass
the day is one of the ones in question.
Oh, really? He's grass. You're terrible. All right, I shan't push it.
Well, a lot of them have got very high production values, the XTC things, you know. We're doing them on a completely different palette, you know.
So what's the band? So you're bass, obviously.
Yeah, bass and singing.
Drums. Who else have you got in the band?
Well, we've got a rather nice keyboard player called Gary Bamford.
Yep.
And then on guitar is Mr. Steve Tilling.
Fantastic.
They're local guys, but they're really rather good.
The reaction online has been incredible. People are coming... there's a Facebook page, TC&I Facebook page, which I signed up to. People are coming from Germany. I think you've got a couple coming from America.
Yeah,
that's... No pressure, but, you know, this suddenly is becoming a thing, isn't it? Did you realise it was going to be a thing?
We didn't know it was going to be a thing, no. We thought we were just going to set up in a small concert venue and just invite our friends, but no, the word got out, and
people are coming for all the shows as well. People have booked for all nights.
Some have, yeah.
So actually, there's only going to be sort of 200 people turn up on four different, three different nights probably. But so
Churchill would say we've got an ordeal of the most grievous kind.
How are you saying in the kitchen, Colin? You're shitting yourself a bit. That will surprise people, I think. When was the last time you played a gig? You stood on stage with a guitar and played your own songs.
1982.
It was that. It was.
Yeah, my own songs. Yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So
I don't know. Where do you stand? I mean, I'll have to be helped onto the stage and positioned where I've got to be, you know.
You face the front. That much. You face the audience. That's the tip I can give you.
Right? Yeah, I don't quite fancy that very much.
Did you not?
No.
How are you feeling about it?
Well, the die is cast, isn't it? So I've got to do it now. But
you sound like you're walking to your death.
Wow, walking to the scaffold.
It's sort of, I mean, this art centre thing there was the first place we ever played when we were 17.
Was
so,
right,
I mean, the irony of it all, and as I say, I'm probably just as nervous now as I was then, yet despite over those years, you know, I mean, we played some pretty big places.
Yeah.
And it didn't sort of really bother me too much. You get a little bit of nerves, you know, prior.
That's that young cockiness, though, isn't it?
And then once you get playing there, you sort of think, well, this is, provided everything's going okay, you're not getting glassed or whatever, which did happen in the early days. You know, you sort of go through it and you become quite a well-oiled machine. But having not done this, either of us, for such a long time, it's, sort of... we're sort of born again.
But that's exciting, though, isn't it? That makes you feel alive.
It has the ring of kind of 77, really, where we used to do the Hope and Anchor and the Red Cow and all those pubs in London. It's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
It's because it's small, it's cosy, and there's, you know, not room for that many people. That's why we have to do the four nights, really, you know.
Otherwise. That's the reason we sort of picked the Arts Centre, really, because it's sort of quite...
It's a great venue.
You know, it's a nice little place. And once again, we had no idea how many people would be interested in even seeing us at all.
Yeah.
So the thing with it was, if the tickets didn't go particularly well, we could have said, well, forget doing the other three nights.
Yeah.
I mean, we booked them because they were consecutive nights, and we thought, well, possibly it would be nice to do it in that sort of run, and we more or less were obliged to sort of book it like that. Otherwise, if we just did the one and then the other dates had gone on to something, you know, Peter Pan or whatever else they put on there, you know, it would have been too late for us. So we had to sort of grab it and think, oh geez, and we didn't know whether we'd fill the four nights or not.
You were unaware, because
you can't be sure, and we didn't want to be seen to sort of be sort of, you know, take on a big venue and all this sort of stuff there and think, Christ, you know, it's half empty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I used to be excited when we used to do places like the Marquee for three nights, and it was packed out for three nights, and there were still people queued out. So that was a better vibe than playing the Rainbow and sort of, you know, three quarters of the bloody seats are still empty.
I can guarantee that there is going to be so much affection in that room that even if you sucked, which you won't, well, maybe, I don't know.
We've considered that as well.
But there's going to be...
picking a lot of advice off of you here tonight, I'll tell you that.
Take it from me. But there's going to be so much affection in that room. I don't know if you've read the comments on the Facebook page. There's so much love for you guys, you know, that I think even transcends the music. You could stand there for an hour and just, you know, read the phone book and people would still love it because it's something that they thought they would never see. You know, you two, a percentage of XTC playing them songs.
Somebody said on there, I believe, that perhaps Colin will sort of read some notes from a gardening book and all Chambers will be just drunk in the corner. So perhaps that might be sufficient. I don't know.
I'd pay that's performance art. I'd pay for that.
Oh, that's 27 quid. No way.
I saw the brilliant, is it This Is Pop, the documentary that came out? Yeah. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. He did a good job, that fellow, didn't he? Charlie Thomas, yes. Yeah. He did the 10cc one and all that. They're usually the ones that get on BBC Four, but we didn't.
BBC wouldn't touch it, would they?
They wouldn't show it, no.
Why?
Because we're not that cool, I suppose.
Hey, all right, I'm going to ask, because to me, XTC is one of the great British bands of all time. You're up there, I'm going to say it, you're up there with the Beatles in terms of each album being a step forward and being a progression, in terms of, you know, I think songs like King for a Day, Grass and Senses Working Overtime, they're pop classics, and I can never understand why you're not one of the biggest bands in the world. Partly the touring thing, okay, that kind of scuppered the momentum that you had going in that direction. But do you know what I mean? Have you pondered that? Do you sometimes, when you're in your bed and you've put your keyboard to one side, go, why weren't we bigger? Do you know what I mean by that?
It's nice, actually, being the best kept secret in the world.
Really?
Yeah.
You still enjoy that?
That's nice, because you know, if you're up there, then the harder you fall. You know, the longer, bigger the drop, you know. But we've always been kind of an underling, you know.
Well, I think that's why the XTC fans like XTC. It's because not everybody does. And it's sort of like a bit of an exclusive sort of club, you know. You know, whereas bands like U2, for example, they're worldwide and global and everybody loves U2, you know what I mean?
Well,
no surprise.
Well,
no, actually,
music lovers don't.
There's millions
well, okay,
of
well, the equivalent I can think of is the Police and Sting, who were kind of, they were your peers, weren't they?
We toured with them in America, yeah.
And you know, Sting is up there and...
Yeah,
I'm going to say it. I think he's a bit shit, you know. I think he's a bit, you know, and the...
He's had good moments.
He's had good moments, yes.
Yes, he's had good moments.
But he's up there and you guys, in my opinion, in the opinion of a lot of people, you know, there's always, every 6 months or a year, there'll be an article in Uncut or Mojo about XTC, the band you must, the five top XTC albums you must have, you know, and it's...
I don't think our band ever had any sex appeal to an extent, whereas Sting, you'd have
Excuse
to say...
Me. Well, sat next to Mr. Colin Moulding, for goodness sakes.
I know him very well.
Right, okay.
No... But, you know, I think there was a certain appeal with people like Sting.
Right.
You know, I mean, for example, nearly 100% of our CD sales have gone to males.
Yeah,
as opposed to...
Yes,
so we
99.9%.
Yeah, okay,
We don't really appeal to the female market. So, I mean, that's sort of 50% of the population or very close to it.
Yes.
So, I mean, there you go. That's part of it.
It's probably too soon to ask, but have you considered... if these shows go well, and more importantly, if you enjoy them, any ideas have you talked about what might happen afterwards?
We haven't got a clue what's going to happen. We might be egged off. We don't know. We're just going to take it one step at a time, right. I think, you know. We're not going to look that far ahead.
So you've not thought about, you've not said, well, if this goes well, maybe we'll do a little tour, anything like that?
Well, as I said, my kind of... The whole thing in the business for me is recording and composing.
Yeah.
You know, that's my thing, and this is kind of a side thing really for me.
Yeah, interesting, yeah.
But I don't know about touring the world. It's
just
it's a lifestyle that I didn't much go on anyway.
Right.
I think I missed my kids blooming growing up. You know.
Yeah.
Now I've got my granddaughter. You know, it's kind of I'm going to miss out again, aren't I? You know. So.
What are you doing with your voice? Because your voice on the new songs is incredible. It's like, it hasn't, do you know what I mean, Terry? It's not
aged. It's like a ventriloquist dummy the first situation, time, that's what it is.
It is. Like, the first time you go and listen to a song from a group or members of a group you've not heard from years, there's always a, this could be a stinker. But it's, A, the songs are great. And your voice, man, it's amazing.
Yeah, his voice has maintained
it
has.
It takes a lot to get the engine going.
I remember seeing sort of Barry Gibb do his thing at, knocking anybody, but doing his live thing at Glastonbury. And I thought that, because of the type of music that he was singing, in the Bee Gees' heyday, right up there.
He can't do the falsetto.
Unfortunately, certain people, and I hate to say it, but I think he falls in that category, along with quite a few others that just can't quite make it up to that register anymore. And some of the songs have to be changed as a result. But I think Colin's, we've been rehearsing in here, and I think he's singing, close to as good as what he's ever done, really.
I play a little bit of bass. I'm not very good at all. How do you, this is a really dumb question, but how do you separate your brain so you can sing and play your complicated bass lines at the same time?
I just don't bother to play them, basically. That's my secret.
Because you're bass playing on the records. I'm going to blow a little bit of smoke up your ass, as the kids will say. You, for me, the top three bass players in the world, McCartney, number one. Number two, it's you. Number three is Carol Kay, from the Wrecking Crew. Although she was very rude to me once in an email.
Oh, no.
She's a rude lady. You've been very polite. McCartney, I've not dealt with. Who knows? Yeah. But your bass lines on particularly kind of the from the mid-XTC period onwards are incredible. Really intricate, melodic, thoughtful bass lines.
Well, I had days and days to think about them,
You didn't have to play them live either. So right. That's all.
When you're not playing live, you can go to town, That's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
When you're playing them live and you've got to play as an ensemble and you've got to sing and play bass at the same time, that's a lot harder.
Yeah.
But when you're just, sat on a stool and you can go to town, then it's just we had time on our hands, up the parts.
You can do the singing later, as you do in the recording studio. You play your bass, you lay your bass down and sing on the song afterwards. But now you're in a position there where you've got to stand up there and do it as well. So, we're working around that.
I've got to ask the question. We're not quite in Swindon, are we? We're just outside.
Just on the edge.
Yeah,
Wanborough.
Beautiful bit of countryside. Yeah. But we are 5 miles away from Andy.
If we are.
Have you spoken to him? I know he's tweeted that you're doing the shows and he's wished you luck online. Yes. Have you guys spoken to him?
We speak on the email occasionally.
Right, okay.
Probably not as much as we did.
Yeah.
I've got every respect for his talent.
Yeah.
But I suppose over the last 10 years there has been some animosity.
Right, okay. That's not a secret.
I probably like him less than I used to.
Yeah.
But that's bands,
That is bands. Does it upset you that I would say 70% of the focus on XTC is on Andy? That documentary that was great, it was mainly Andy.
Yes,
the articles are mainly Andy. Mm-hmm. And it could be argued you wrote the biggest hits, and you
wrote some of them,
and your songwriting was integral. You say the bass playing was integral. Do you feel that, and I'm not trying to cause an argument, you don't want to answer it, but do you feel that focus on him was unfair?
You feel sometimes that you don't get your just desserts, I suppose, but I've never been one for kind of hogging the limelight anyway. So, I just grin and bear it, really.
I think from the early days, Andy was the principal songwriter. Colin wrote a couple of songs and he became better as the years went on and wrote more. But in the early days, it was sort of like we were sort of Partridge's mob, really.
Right.
And, he was front and centre and he soaked it all up.
Yeah.
So it was very much of a surprise to me that, he didn't want to play in front of an audience anymore. It's like, what happened to sort of, the guy that wanted to soak it up? I mean, when he was in the room there, he wanted to be the centre of attention, as front men generally tend to be. So that's why
he got most of the attention. And, you know, if interviews were going to be done, they wanted him, and I'd probably go along with support, or Dave or Barry would go along with support, or on another occasion, if Colin had to do one, either one of us would go on, but very rarely would Colin and Andy do it together. They would be in different things often.
We would write separately all the time.
I mean, he had to sort of take that. I mean, that was the mantle he sort of took on, you know.
Terry, look at me. Generals and majors. Oh, a little smile there. There was a little smile. Your poker face sucks. I'm sorry.
He's getting abusive now.
This is an interrogation, not an interview.
Yeah, get the spotlight and put it on you. Dave Gregory, have you spoken to Dave?
Not recently. Right. No. We had a bit of a falling out.
Really? I didn't realise.
Yes. I seem to be the anchorman in all this. But that's bands for you.
It is bands. It is bands.
It's unfortunate, but we all get a bit huffy with things, and, you know, and you're dealing with, he's taking the credit for that, and I should be, you know, it's this kind of thing. And, but, you know, when you look at it, we stuck together for a hell of a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, we've had fallings out over the last 10 years. We've had a few skirmishes. Yeah, it can't be denied. But, you know. If he was at me door, I'd invite him in for a cup of tea.
And then tell him to get out. Did you get on with Todd Rundgren? Were you okay with him?
I got on with him all right, actually. I thought he was all right.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I let him produce.
Right, okay.
Whereas Andy couldn't let go of the reins. That's the thing. Mm. And it was just two philosophies of recording that just clashed, you know. Andy's one of these chaps that, you know, he hasn't had a good day unless he's made you do it 8 times, you know. Whereas Todd was kind of, if he hadn't clinched it by a couple of takes, then we'd move on or pass it over, you know. And it kept things moving, you know. But Andy was kind of, you know, he's a stickler. He kind of wants it right. We can't move on to anything else until it is. So there was the clash, you know. And
Favourites is a lousy, lame question. We're going to ask it. Favourite XTC album, if you had to pluck one out to say this was my band and this is what we did and what we sounded like, what one would you go for?
It's difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult. And it's that thing that I said, that it's the progression, that every album is a move on from the previous.
I like Parts of Nonsuch, I must admit. I think probably on balance I'd go for that one.
Yeah.
But there's Parts of Drums and Wires that I like as well, you know. So Black Sea too. So I'm afraid I'm on the fence.
Terry, what would you do? Did you listen to them after you left?
Not really. No, I didn't.
Was it kind of a two fingers up?
Not really. It was, you know, the fact that they sort of continued on, I think it was a bit sort of too close to my heart, really, thinking, what would I have done in those circumstances, you know? And fair play to them. They had some great guys playing, and they've done some, I mean, I'm trying to tread in their shoes, some of them, because but to answer your question earlier, we're doing some songs from nearly all the albums, which includes quite a lot
stuff that I weren't on.
And Pete Best syndrome, really.
It's kind of
you're trying to you know, pin this mother down, you know.
What's that? The Trogs tape. Ba-da-da. You played it already.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's Dubba 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 Cha.
Dubba Cha, that's the one, yeah. So, yeah, I'm having to tread as close as I possibly can in the footsteps of great drummers, you know.
Yeah.
So, that's been challenging in itself, let alone trying to remember what I did myself.
I'm going to wind this up, because we're in the hottest room and I've made you turn the fan off, and I appreciate your patience. But, so it's Swindon Arts Centre. They've just released a load of tickets, but they may have gone already, but look, in October. You guys haven't got a website or anything, have you?
Well, somebody looks after something on Facebook, I think.
Okay.
He emailed me and said, could I do it? I said, well, crack on if you want to, you know.
But this is the TC&I.
Well, there's a TC&I one, and apparently there's a Colin Moulding one as well, but, you know, they're welcome to kind of...
You guys want to get on the Twitter with the hashtags and the trolls and all of that, the online fighting.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you really want to get down there? A lot of people have gone through that, and they, you know, a lot of people, I understand, are pulling out of that type
Twitter's
of thing.
Twitter's horrible, but, man. You guys are well off out of it.
Yeah, I think so. It's...
we're too busy.
I mean, too busy.
Yeah, it's a world...
You just met your granddaughter. Of course you're too busy. You got your hands full with a little one there.
Holidays, well, that's only one. Holiday hell.
Oh. It's Friday. It must be Amelie's day.
She's adorable. Hey, listen, I'm so thrilled that you guys are doing this. You're going to be nervous. Nothing I'm going to say has changed that, but there's going to be so much affection for you lot. Yeah. You know, so much affection. I'm coming, I think, on the Tuesday. I've got a couple of tickets. I'm going to come down and see it. Best of
what
luck.
What row are you in then, Ian?
Oh, I'm in...
He'll be the tallest one there. He's about 6'7".
I will be... I will have my banner. I'll be waving a banner. I'll be screaming for Terry. I'll be chucking my underwear.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be happening. I wish you the very, very best of luck. And I hope more than anything you enjoy it. You know, I hope
that you
enjoy it.
Thank you for coming all this way to interview us. Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Ian.
That's a great rehearsal. Should we do it? Now,
no, this is the Todd Rundgren way of doing it.
We're done.